This is RSBNB Update, episode 537, recorded Sunday, October 4th, 2015. RuneFest 2015, invention, toilet using, and beyond. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Joining me this week is Sirion from Clan Quest. Welcome once again.
Hey, Shane.
Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be part of the show again.
Yeah, Earth is still away this week. He's still working on his performance for school, so that's why. For those of you guys who weren't aware, going back to the previous week, but... With that being said, we do have quite a bit to discuss with you guys this week. Starting with, of course, the obvious RuneFest. RuneFest was this Saturday, hence why you guys are hearing this on Sunday at the earliest. Sorry, which I mean, in history, it's not like me to do a late show, but I think we had to make an exception in this case for RuneFest, just because it's such a big event. So we're gonna largely discuss RuneFest this week, but we're also going to discuss the patch notes and, well, a couple of little changes made along the way that might help or hurt the way you play the game, depending on your perspective of things. And unlike previous years, we actually have three interviews from RuneFest in the field that will be fitting in through the RuneFest segment of the podcast. So hopefully everyone enjoys that and can sink their teeth into RuneFest, even if you weren't there. So, Sirion, you did not go to RuneFest.
No, I did not.
Neither did I. And we're covering it remotely, which can be done to a good level of success. Basically, what we do is we watch the live streams, or, you know, the recordings of the live streams as they come around, and we form opinions on those updates and we bring them to you guys. So, RuneFest 2015. Before we get too far down the rabbit hole on this, I'm just going to ask you, what was your general consensus of the performance that Jagex put on this year for everyone?
Ooh, that's interesting. Well, last year I really felt like there was a lot of new things. Like, they announced Chronicle, they announced NXT, but there wasn't really a lot to show of it. And they were really focusing on the whole RuneLabs thing, so it felt really underwhelming. And they made a huge comeback this year. Like, we see a lot of continuations. We are really seeing how the new team, the new design team, because we have, like, new leadership at RuneScape, of course, you really see their ideas and how they will hopefully come around next year. So that was really exciting, I think. So that was really well done, I think.
All right. And, of course, the first segment of the day that a good number of people went to was the Combat Showcase. Looking at PVM in the past and where PVM is going in the future. So some of the things that came up from that, I mean, expanding raids, a new God Wars dungeon, you know, solo boss, that kind of thing. Did this meet your expectations?
I was really hoping to hear a bit more about EOC in general. Like, there was a focus on PVM, there was a focus on PvP, they focused a bit on Darkscape, but nothing really, like, fundamental in the combat mechanics, while I still think there's a lot of things that could be improved there. So that was a bit disappointing, especially since they were talking about changes to the combat system, but those were related to Darkscape. So that was a bit, like, there was not really something in there that I would say that was combat-related in the sense of fundamental combat mechanics.
Right. Because, I mean, I put my analyst hat on when we had the release of Darkscape a couple weeks back, 3 weeks ago now. And, I mean, two of the obvious decisions in the game, limiting it to legacy to begin with and reducing effectiveness of weapons past 75,
mm-hmm.
that told me that, well, that means the top end of the EOC system is really powerful, and maybe it needs to be looked at in the main game as well. So I was thinking, you know, maybe we would have seen something like this announced at RuneFest, like another round of tweaks and fixes to the Evolution combat system, but nothing on that.
Yeah, it would be the obvious like conclusion from different things we have seen. I mean, we have heard a bit of rumbling about the EOC balancing anyway, so it was really odd that there was nothing about it at all.
And, I mean, when you put everything else together from the combat showcase segment that they had, it was all run-of-the-mill. I mean, okay, we learned that there's going to be elemental, you know, raid fights and whatnot, but, I mean, that's almost behind-the-scenes video topic.
Yeah.
When it comes around.
I mean, yeah.
I don't think the people who are watching the combat segment at RuneFest were all that interested, because that was by far the most awkward segment there was. Now, granted, it was the first segment of the day, but there was some periods of awkward silence in there from the crowd.
Yeah, I think people really were expecting a bit more insights in, like, where are we going to go with the combat mechanics in RuneScape, and there was nothing of that. There was, like, announcement for PvP and PvM, but we knew there was going to be new raids. We knew there was going to be duo everywhere. And Darkscape just started, so you can't expect the audience to, like, really go bananas over something that was released only a few weeks ago. So, yeah, I don't think the setup of this showcase was really well done.
Yeah. And, I mean, you can argue that they want to keep their cards close to their chest and whatnot, and, you know, keep some of the main surprises for later on. But I guess another way of looking at it would be that combat is already mature in the game, and you don't need however many bosses to come out to make it all that much better, because we already are a PvM-focused game when you think about it at endgame.
Yeah.
So God Wars Dungeon 2, that's going to be a solo dungeon.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is interesting to say.
I mean, they compare it to the current God Wars dungeon, and they say that it will be a solo dungeon in the same extent. I mean, the current God Wars dungeon is often still done in like tiny groups, I think. I mean, you can do it solo,
yeah.
But I think
yeah.
People also do it in small groups, and I think that works pretty well. So, I mean, you can go to at high level solo, but also at mid-level in small groups, which makes the content accessible for a wider range of groups and also in different ways of doing it. And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw concept art also of a Tuska and Saren Godsword.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really interesting if they would like go for like a different weapon type. Like we have God Swords, maybe they would go for God Wands or something, just to have a bit more of a wider spectrum.
Right.
Depends a bit on the level. I don't know by head if there are like any gaps around the level of God Swords. So that would maybe be interesting to see a bit more variation there. And with a new God Wars dungeon, you kind of go in every direction. So.
Yeah, and I think if they wanted to add extra weapon types, they could do it for all the ones that already exist in the God Wars dungeon, because that's pretty much a necessity with EOC. But conventional wisdom tells us that the God Swords will be the same combat type, same level, that kind of thing. So there's that. So we already talked about what was missing from the combat showcase. Expansion of raids is coming, solo boss, that kind of thing. But that's really all I took away from it. Did you take anything else away from it?
Yeah, ModPie likes Darkscape way too much. He was just evil. He was literally, yeah. Keep an eye on that mod. He's gonna wreck things there. That's
yeah. And I mean, it is interesting hearing about Darkscape and whatnot. And like I've said previously, Darkscape, the best outcome that can come from it is that whatever we hear about does indeed make it into main game.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So that's combat, and I'm not too much of a combat person, so that's why I'm not jumping up and down about this. But I'm sure there are people who were given, you know, raids and whatnot. It's also worth noting that raids will get quality of life enhancements, and they're going to look for a way to bring skillers into the raiding system.
I think that is really cool, and I think they also said they want to make the next raids a bit more accessible for people.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important, because raids could be one of those things that become a fundamental thing to the game, like something a lot of people do maybe daily. So making that more accessible will mean that people can get into that earlier, even like new players. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, because as it is right now, I think you need a 20-person group to
10.
Take the... Oh, 10. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they even took that down to 5 and... made it so you just needed, you know, the tier 90 stuff and not necessarily all, you know, like high end. Because I think today, if you want to do combat, Drygors are relatively accessible, right?
Yeah, they are accessible. Yeah.
So. Alrighty, so that's the combat showcase. Next section that they talked about at RuneFest was invention and elite skills. Invention is coming in January. Very soon.
Yep.
Looking forward to it?
Yeah, yeah. The talk actually changed my mind about it. I was a bit skeptical about the whole invention idea. Like, it first used to be a skill, and I didn't really see that happening. Then they changed it to be not a skill, and I was like, okay, now it's getting interesting. And then they got back to, like, the elite skill thing. And I used to be very skeptical about it, but they're really doing some very cool things with the skill. So I think it might actually be a big game changer for the game. But, yeah, there's still one thing I'm really worried about. Like, the way they presented it is, like, it's going to become a way of playing. Like, when you're slaying, for example, you pick up weapons, and while slaying, you can easily, like, tear them apart in their components. And that's
right.
Really changing the way you play the game. Like, Slayer, you don't, like, gather stuff anymore to sell in a GE. You know, you put together all the scrap you get, like, pick up all the drops, turn it into components, and use it in some sort of crafting system. And in like, for example, Guild Wars 2, you also pick up like lots of weapons you can't even use. You break them apart and use the components to craft other stuff, which I think is really interesting and also removes a lot of junk from the GE. But
which has been needed for a number of years.
Yeah, so the item sync really works, and the way of changing the game and focusing on this also, I think, is going to work out really well. But then again, it's still a skill, so I'm really afraid it's still going to be grinding a lot, which would be a shame. Like, I would like to see that you use this skill as you go along and you slowly level it up without really having to grind it.
Yes. Yeah. And, I mean, it's ingrained into what RuneScape is to grind
mm-hmm.
skills.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you think about it, going back to when the game was first created, skills were obviously created with what you had in mind as you use them, and, you know, they level
yeah.
up as you go.
Yeah.
So I think if it turns out to be that that is the main way of, you know, leveling invention so that it's less grind worthy than, say, you know, fletching or smithing, something like that,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a success.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it comes around to the fact that you have to... I mean, it's a way of getting rid of all the items during Slayer. You have a separate inventory, they said, for all the stuff you get during invention, so it's going to save bank space. So it's really going to tie into the way you play the game at high levels. So that is already very promising. And all the items you make become untradeable. So you really get a way of building your own weapons, your own armor, by playing the game, by gathering your own stuff. And that's really different from, for example, smithing, where you just create 1,000 runeplate bodies to level up a few levels. Yeah, I mean, nobody cares about runeplate bodies anymore.
We'll be talking about that later.
Yeah, but I mean, that is really promising. So invention is the thing they can turn around the game with, I think. They can really take this concept and go in a whole new direction with this skill.
And it's also worth noting that you can remove the little things you put on the items and sell them, and then the original item becomes tradable again. So we do have that going for us. So skill consists of breaking things down, finding the new recipes, and creating the enchantments, I guess you could call them.
Perks, the other... They're called perks.
Perks, okay. So we got the perk system. What else is there?
The tech trees.
Right, the tech trees. Okay.
That is another really important thing, I think, because the tech trees are allowing people to progress in different ways throughout the skill. Like, you and I were talking a bit about it when the presentation was going on. You were, for example, really excited about some farming perk. While I was really excited.
The sprinkler.
Yeah, while I was really excited, I don't even know anymore what perk it was. But, like, everybody plays the game differently, and you can tailor this skill to your playstyle. Like, you can prioritize certain upgrades. And I think that is really cool, because that means that not everybody is going to progress through the skill in the same way. And, yeah, that makes it more interesting than just hard unlocks at level 10, level 20, level 30.
And also, with the tech tree system, there's going to be no way, you know, to go down all the tech trees and get there at different times. So you're going to need to know people so you can interact with them and, I'm assuming, purchase stuff from that other tech tree. So
yeah.
We do have that also in Invention, which is going to be good. For people wondering, the first three tech trees are human, dwarf, and cave goblin.
Yeah.
With gnome and elven coming later in the year in a batch 2.
Yeah.
Which will be past level 99. And that's something also that we haven't touched on yet, is that Invention will go to 120 just like Dungeoneering.
Yeah, but they will use an entirely different leveling graph.
All right, let's talk about that. So,
yeah.
Level 99?
Level 99, I think, takes exactly the same time, like, in the profile. It takes exactly the same time to get to 99 as doing the in the traditional graph. But in the traditional graph, levels 1 to 40, basically, it's... like, 1 hour you can get...
a blink of an eye.
Hmm?
It's a blink of an eye.
And then, like, starting from, like, level 90 or so, things get really, really slow. And the other graph is a bit more even. Like, it starts out more, more linear. So the first few levels actually already take a bit of time. So no longer 92 is like halfway, but maybe like level 70 is halfway to 99.
Right.
So. And that means that in the beginning, it's not that you burn through all the levels, but more importantly, it also means that you have more moments during the late leveling that you actually level up and feel like you're progressing. So it feels less like 1 million XP to go until like the next level. No, it's only like half of that. So you get more of those milestones along the way, and more importantly, probably more like new content that unlocks at those levels.
Right. And now let's just address something that is inevitably going to be a bit of a concern with Invention and the other elite skills, is that level 99 being at the 40 million XP mark, people are saying, oh, this is going to take forever to level up. But it's clear that Jagex wants it to take the same amount of time as it does currently. It just takes more XP to get there.
Yeah.
So even though it's 40 million XP, you're going to take the same amount of time to get to 99 now as you do in a comparable skill.
Yeah.
So don't be worrying about, oh, I have to get 40 million XP to get to level 99 invention. No, no, not the case.
It's gonna and be level 99, level 99 invention will actually go to 120, and the ratio between the experience between 120 and 99 is not going to be the same as Dungeoneering. It's going to be relatively faster to get from 99 to 120 for invention.
Yeah, so it's not going to be, you know, this, what I call a drag for a skill that you don't, you might not necessarily like. So, don't be worried, friends. It's going to be okay. And I mean, that's the number one thing I think that, people reading text commentary and, you know, who might not be fully, watching the RuneFest streams would be concerned about, because, you know, in chats and whatnot, we saw people already being concerned about this.
Mm-hmm. So
it's something that I think needs to be addressed early on here.
Yeah.
Even before invention comes out in January.
Yeah.
Because if this issue can get put to bed, I think we'll have a lot of a smoother run beforehand in terms of the player base and whatnot. So I guess the moral of the story is don't be concerned about getting 40 million XP to get to 99, because it's going to take the same amount of time or less to get there.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do we have with invention? I think I'm forgetting one part of the skill. We got the breaking down, the perks, the tech trees. Factory machines. Okay.
Yeah. So this really is interesting. I mean, I imagine it's a bit controversial, factory machines. I personally like it, but I'm a huge fan of ports.
Right.
Because I mean, in a way, it's like a management game inside of RuneScape, the ports. And the factories are going to be like similar. Like, you're going to build factories to automate certain tasks for you. So you put in like components for a pie and it will automatically bake pies for you throughout the day. And it's slower than doing it manually, but it continues working even if you're logged out, just like ports. Like, you set it up, you come back next day and you have made some money, or maybe you didn't optimize the process very well, so maybe you lost some money. I don't know how it's going to work. But I think that's really cool because it involves a lot of tinkering and figuring stuff out yourself. So
hence
I think that's
invention.
Yeah. Yeah.
The example they gave for the factory machines was, putting, seaweed and, sand in your machine and coming back 8 hours later, getting molten glass.
Yeah.
So there's one, lots of crazy concept art there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
What was the one? One of them looked like some kind of, I have no idea what it was, like a train or something. I don't know.
I don't remember seeing that.
It was crazy.
The only concept art I really am excited about is the cyborg chin chomp.
You gotta wonder if that one will get into the game.
I really hope it.
I think
it's going to be a ranged weapon you can make. Like, you pick up a Chimchomper, make a cyborg Chimchomper out of it. I don't know what it's going to do. It looked amazing.
And then there was also, I mean, things that actually looked like modern weapons, like guns and whatnot. And very interesting to see the way we could go with all this. So the inventions are no doubt going to be a major part of the skill. Overall, though, the skill unlocks at level 80, and you need to have it in smithing, crafting, and, of course, divination. So if you don't have that going into January, then that's probably something you should look at doing. And, of course, you won't be able to train the skill if you don't have those levels. So that's another thing that I wanted to bring up about this is because you start training invention at level 1, and because you need the, you know, the level 80 requirements and those other skills, there was some question, you know, as to, okay, so the early parts of invention, level 1 to 40, is that going to be useless? The answer is no, because, of course, we have the XP graph changes, and every level that you get, there will be something useful, and you will feel like you're progressing. So even though you might not feel like you have to wait, it's going to be fine.
And you will not burn through those first 40 levels immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's that. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, the only problems I see with it right now is that milestone capes are going to be completely broken. Because you can't get the level 10 milestone cape until you are level 80 in smithing, crafting, and divination, because you need to get invention to level 10, presumably. Maybe milestones won't work for elite skills. That's something they have to figure out. So that's funny.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the other thing that might be a bit worrying about it being like such a high level thing is, like I said, if it's really going to change the way you play, like really use a different crafting system as what we're used to, then you have to switch to that at some point, and the old thing is still what it is right now, and that is something that I find a bit, I'm not sure about. Like, you're really changing some core mechanics of the game, in mainly with respect to loot from Slayer, for example, and you're going to change that now halfway through the game. So,
well, I mean, right now, isn't most Slayer loot that you get useless?
Hmm.
So,
but it will be useless then until you get level 80 in those skills, and then it will be useful. And how is that like transition gonna be like? And that's gonna be really interesting to see how they solve those issues.
True. All right. You know, we're gonna have more elite skills coming later on in the year. Perks we already mentioned, but there's one that did, you know, kind of raise eyebrows at RuneFest, and that was the idea of a toilet using elite skill.
Yes, that's gonna be interesting. I don't know. I think it was a joke.
Of course.
I think we'll see sailing before that.
So just putting this out there, what would the toilet using skill have levels in? Or be required by?
I have no idea, to be honest. I think it would be a very boring skill.
Yeah.
It would be one of those skills that is really easy to train, like, passively while you're doing other things, though. Yeah.
Other crazy ones on there. Barding. Bank standing. Cheese rolling.
Bank standing is good, and I think that it would work. Like, with higher levels of bank standing, you unlock, like, other banks you can bank stand. Like, the fifth bank is, like, level 100 or something. That's gonna, like, make the Tower of Voices a bit that laggy, so I think it would actually be a good gameplay thing.
Psionics, ranching. That one doesn't sound too half bad, ranching. Recycling, revelation, riding, skull dragging, songcrafting, sporting, stealth. I think that'd be a good one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Taming, teaching. Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah.
We could definitely use some teaching in RS. So that's the elite skills. But yeah, if you guys have any questions about this, please do send them into the podcast, and we'll gladly talk about them for you if we miss something or you want further clarification on something from one of the presentations. And of course, also please do be sure to tell your friends that if they're concerned about the level up, progress for elite skills, not to worry, because it's going to take relatively the same amount of time as it does currently. So it's nothing to worry about at all. That is the number one thing I wanted to stress on this podcast today, is because we've seen how updates can go in the past when you have a community perception that just gets so ingrained that it becomes toxic. So mm-hmm. I don't want that happening with elite skills.
Mm-hmm.
So tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family that elite skills are going to be just fine.
Yeah. One thing we forgot to talk about is the guilds you get, like the invention guild.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's coming with batch 2, I think. I'm not sure on this information. I don't have it written down, I think. Anyhow, the guild is going to be interesting because you're going to be like guild master yourself. So you're going to decide which NPCs will be in there, what kind of stuff will be in there. And the factory machines will probably be incorporated in like the guild as well. So that's really interesting. And I have the feeling that there are some crossovers with the Church of UID even, because you are like in charge.
Yep.
I really saw that shining through a bit, so I find it interesting how they got that in there. In my opinion, is a more sensible ID, because the Church of You was a bit like, what?
And we're worshiping this makes the player. Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
can I create a farming guild with this?
You can make a farming-focused invention guild.
But not the farming guild. That's too bad.
You can make it automatically make the saplings planting for you, maybe, and then that might be interesting.
Well, we'll see about that. Yeah. There's a certain level of tradition associated with farming that must be maintained. Yeah. All right. So, next up in the RuneFest schedule was the new game client, referred to as RuneScape NXT. I wish they'd give it a different name at this point, because NXT, it's... What are we new talking about?
The new console from Nintendo is also called NXT, I think, or Project NXT.
Oh,
it's a very generic name, of course. Then again, NXT is the name they announced it with, so people know it by that name, so I think at this point changing the name is not a good idea anymore.
Yeah. But does NXT even stand for anything?
You pronounce it next.
Oh, okay.
Which, I think.
RuneScape
or it
next.
Sounds like N-X-T-N-X. I don't know. It's next without an E.
So anyways, basically, as we have been promised, this is going to provide us the benefits of the HTML5 client, though with performance that's actually decent on all computers. And that's what they're really striving for with this case, is that not only high-end computers, but also the low-end laptops that they said, the majority of you guys play RS on laptops that are 2 or 3 years old. So they have to take that into account.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that going for us. You know, draw distance, all kinds of new graphics techniques, with which, I mean, this was your thing. You were jumping up and down practically for some of these things.
It is definitely very exciting what they're doing here, yes. I mean, I don't really know about what techniques they're using, of course, but it was definitely time to up their game and no longer use Java, because it is limited in what they're doing, of course. And I mean, if you look at the images, it looks amazing. It looks definitely like a game that could come out in this year. Because I think RuneScape always had it against it, that it was like really dated and really didn't look that well.
Yeah.
And having this might even attract new players to the game again, because it's up to par to other games again.
Which is what we need.
Definitely, that's a big problem of RuneScape right now. We need more influx of new players. And we might be getting that with NXT, but I'm really curious to see how that like works with older graphical content. Like, the Felder rework is going to look great with NXT, I'm sure of it. Fifth Dinners looks awesome in NXT. But Ardoin gonna look? Because that has never had a graphical update, I think.
Well, yeah, and I mean, even the whole area south of Ardoin, you know, Ymir, Felder Pils, that kind of thing, that has not been updated ever.
So
still got the RS2 graphics if you turn the textures off.
Mm-hmm. So that's gonna be really interesting. Like, how is that gonna look if you have like a huge, amazing skybox and cool character animation, and then like this branch that has to be a tree or something. So
yeah,
that might be a bit like that conflict might be a bit of a problem, but I mean it can't look worse than it is now. So,
and I mean that's something they also said in the presentation, is that we're going to be keeping the RuneScape aesthetic as it is, and it's not going to be, you know, a wholesale change overnight where it's a completely different game. They said, yeah, this would let us do things that you see in other, you know, games that are out right now, but they're not going to do that.
It's still recognizable as the same game, and that is very
exactly
important.
Yes.
Yeah.
But on the same hand, new areas coming out, like the new continent or landmass or city, they're mm-hmm. going to be free to make look as graphically stunning as they can with this.
Yeah.
And overall, the whole idea of the new game client, you know, is not to upend the game. It's a replacement to Java, and Java will disappear at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, Windows, of course, we heard about the Mac side. In fact, they started development on
yep.
MacBooks, believe it or not. We didn't hear about Linux, but I'm going to assume it'll work on Linux as well.
Yeah. And it's really important that they take those other platforms in mind, I think, because lots of like normal customers, like the average customer, is slowly moving a bit towards OS X and Linux as well. Like it's
OS 10
and Linux. It's not a given anymore that people use Windows, and especially for the casual gamers that RuneScape has a lot of, like those platforms are going to be important to support, because those are the people that will not definitely be using a high-end Windows PC.
Yeah, and I mean, platform compatibility is, you know, key in that case. But
yeah.
One thing they do need to be careful of is that they need a certain level of integration and native feeling of the platform, because as it is on OS X, for anyone who uses it, is stuck with OpenGL extensions from, you know,
yeah.
2 or 3 years ago, which
yeah.
is severely limiting in today's world. So
mm-hmm.
they're going to need to figure out how they're getting around that,
yeah.
because that's going to be a stumbling block going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give an idea of, you know, how they need to make that all work together. But was there anything technical from that presentation that stood out to you?
I mean, they talked about some technical stuff, but I think they purposely limited that very much. I mean, there were lots of like features from a technical standpoint that were really interesting. Like they're going to make the FPS limit that's going to be gone for rendering, which is a really big thing for some people. I mean, the game logic is still going to be limited to the normal FPS, which is like 50, I think, which makes sense because there's like server logic on the other end, and
yeah.
you can't make that go infinitely fast. But like that kind of stuff, they're going to completely redo the audio engine, which I am a huge fan of, because I like the RuneScape music. I am into audio programming quite a lot, so I think that was really exciting. The no border window mode is going to be amazing, of course.
Yes. No, so basically, what that does is, if you use full screen RuneScape, allows you to switch between other monitors if you have them without minimizing the game, which is a major problem today.
Yeah. And of course, they are also going to like build in support for scalable interface to have better support for 4K screens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So,
yes.
Like, lots of things they can do now, which make it more like a solid game. It no longer is that browser game, because it always has been that browser game and limited by that. And it's going to be, I mean, a lot of people are playing it in the client now, mainly because the browsers don't support it anymore. And I think it's better to embrace that than trying to fit it in somehow. Mm-hmm. And I think what RuneScape still has is when I want to play, I boot up the game and it's loaded within a few seconds. I can log in and within half a minute, I'm in the game. And other games, I have to like start a launcher, have it update, log in, and it's like a few minutes until I'm actually playing. So as long as RuneScape keeps that going for itself, it's going to be very, still going to have that ease of access argument going for it.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing for me out of NXT is the resizable, or rather scalable, interface components, because 27-inch iMac here, 1440p, it is really hard to see that chat box and other UI elements down there if I ever want to play full screen, which is why I don't. and, I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one out there, but the idea of kind of, you know, fighting the Queen Black Dragon or something on a TV screen is appealing.
Yeah.
And you can't really do that now because, well, it's too small. So.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I really think it's going to be interesting. Like, we have seen successful examples of what RuneScape is trying to do a bit. Like, I had to think about the Battle.net launcher for like World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Like, you have like the Battle.net launcher, and it's like a lightweight application from which you can launch like all kinds of stuff. And I mean, if RuneScape is gonna do something like that with RuneScape, maybe Darkscape and OSOS can be in there and that kind of stuff.
Yes. Yes, they need that. Because you have RS3, Darkscape, old school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should be able to log in once, click a button, and decide which way you go.
Yeah.
So
definitely excited about that. We didn't see that much new, I think. We also haven't heard anything about an ETA, though. Doing one of the like in between bits, they said it was not 6 months, it's not a year, so we're probably looking at like more information before the end of the year.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not something we want to rush, and I mean, we saw what happened when they brought out the beta of the HTML5 client. It just wasn't ready in time. So this is, you know, it's good they're taking their time on it, and it's good it's not being rushed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, overall, very good.
People should not underestimate how much work this is. Like, they have to write an entire new engine. They have to write an entire interface between the game code and that engine. They have to make sure everything works. And there were some people in the chat that were like, yeah, they're going to finish this, and then they're going to throw it away and start again. It's not going to work that way. Like, working on an engine like this is a huge dedication, and they had the same dedication with HTML5. It's just that the technology is still not ready for that kind of stuff. And I mean, I have tried some stuff with HTML5 and JavaScript, and that's still a very new technology. Like, it's still developing. So RuneScape took that step too early, and I think they made a right decision to now switch to C++ because that works.
Yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know, of course, Sirion's not just making this up as he goes along. He's actually written and published a video game before, so you do have some experience in this field.
Yeah, not necessarily in C++ or HTML and JavaScript, but I am aware of the challenges that come with making a game run, making it run smoothly, even for low-end computers, and that it is far from trivial, because if you have a console, everybody will have the same package. If you have a computer, some people have all the computers, and you want to make things pretty. Like, you want to have those people with huge PCs to have pretty stuff, and you want to have the old people have a game that runs smoothly. And that's two ends and two things you have to balance really carefully. But, like, if I understood correctly, what they're saying is when they release NXT, they're not going to release any new features graphics-wise, but it's going to allow them to implement awesome stuff like the scalable interface and that kind of stuff that will help people on the high ends making it an even more beautiful game while keeping the smooth and current experience, which is already a lot more beautiful than what we have right now for the low-end players. So I think they're doing an amazing job. We don't hear a lot from them, but I have full confidence that they're doing a great job.
Yep. And, well, as you said, no new graphics off the bat. It'll look pretty much like the HTML5 client, but better in terms of shadows, characters, that kind of thing. So there's a lot to look forward to with this.
Just to come back to one question, there was one technical thing I was really, really excited about, and that was global illumination. Okay, how to explain that? When you are in a room and you have a light going on, then the light lights things up in the room. So what happens is like a light beam goes from the light, bounces on a wall, and then into your eye, and then you can see the wall. But there's also indirect lighting. So there can also be a light beam that goes from the light to a wall, to another wall, to a vase, to your eye. And there's like lots of levels going on. And every bounce, of course, the light gets a bit weaker. Like there's lots of physics behind that. But that's why you get like all the reflections. And that's why, for example, if you have like a red ball in an entirely white room, there will be a red glow around that ball everywhere. So that is really difficult to simulate on a PC because you have to simulate all those bounces, and that's really expensive. But using smart approximations and smart algorithms, you can approximate it, and it looks really cool if you can get that right.
So that's just one of the, you know, various things that they will be able to take advantage of going forward. So it's not just, oh, fresh client. Okay. But you're going to notice a lot of these things if you have the computer.
Shadows are going to look so cool. The ambience is going to be better. That's what the main difference is going to be. The ambience, they're going to do a lot more with it. Like the models, they look fine already, but the ambience is going to blow your mind.
All right, well, as you can tell, this is what I was most excited about at RuneFest, and I don't know about you, Sirion, but maybe?
No, it has to be the quests. I have to say that I'm most excited.
We'll get there. Before we move on to our first interview, I got a good chuckle when they said, you know, when they started testing the NXT client, they found, you know, certain areas that just had random point lights mapped certain places in the ceiling. And, of course, we don't see those in RS because the current engine can't do that.
No. No, I think, of course, for, like, modeling, you have to use those lights to actually see how things will end up looking in the game. So it's fun to see those legacy stuff coming forward, and that is actually one of the joys of being a game developer, coming across these kind of bugs.
All right. Well, there's the RuneScape Next client. Hopefully we've provided you guys some more information if you had not watched the session or in addition to the session. But right now we got a couple minutes with Alex43. Prior to this, he had just attended the NXT session, and he actually has some experience as well with WebGL, so this has been an interesting thing of his as well. So let's see what he had to say about that and his day so far and going forward at RuneFest. All right, now we're here with Alex43. You guys know him from RSBNB Informer and tons of other places on RSBNB, Clan Quest as well, RSBNB Informer, you name it. So you just watched the NXT Q&A, didn't you?
Kind of, yeah.
What did you think?
Like what? Well, actually, what I did was they have like a whole booth that has a bunch of computers and stuff, and you can interact with the NXT yourself and just see how it is.
And what was your first impression coming back from it?
Looked almost exactly like the WebGL version, except done right.
Okay,
it loaded a lot faster, and it looked very, very nice. You can have a huge, huge viewport. You can see towers in the distance. It looks so cool.
So you'd say,
like in Valkyrie, you can see the tower.
You'd say it was running fairly reliably then.
It was, yeah. The frame rate was really nice, and it looked beautiful. There was a reflection.
All right. I think we're losing Alex's connection here again. Alex, if you can hear me, what kind of... did you get a chance to check what kind of video cards those machines were running, just so we can get an idea of what we're aiming for?
No, I didn't yet. I can go back and check if you want me
to. You can get back, and then I'll strip that in later on for the listeners. So that's good. Did you have a chance to look at anything combat-related or the earlier part of the NXT session?
Not really. Again, the RuneFest, there's a lot of crazy stuff happening, like the guy activities and everything, meeting a bunch of mods and stuff.
All right.
So much to do, really, so I'm just wandering around just having fun.
So what have you been up to? What are some of the activities you've done in the last 2.5 hours, I think, then?
Well, one of the main ones we've been focusing on is that they give you a book where you have to headhunt a certain set of J-Mods and do stuff for them in order to get their signatures. Then you collect 8 of those, you get a token. And you collect like 9 or 10 different tokens, then you get, I guess, a main token, which you get put in a case and display it for all the world to see.
All right. How many are you up to right now?
I am still missing, I think, 3, but I have like 5 or 6 right now.
All right. That's good. And what do you get when you complete it? Just give the listeners a bit of an opinion on that.
You get like the Golden RuneFest token that completes the set.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like there's like a box that you hold. It's like badges in Pokemon, basically.
Okay. And how was the lineup getting in? Did you enjoy yourself outside as you did last year? Any roving trees?
Actually, what happened was that they half of the tobacco dock, the inside, they actually had part of it sort of sectioned off so that everybody kind of gathered in the big giant crowd as opposed to a line. And then when it was all ready, they opened the doors and we just flooded right in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was watching that part on Twitch. Very interesting the way they did that this year. What about the before party last night? How was that for you?
Oh, that was a good fun. We had it at the Namco Funscape, which is basically a big giant arcade. They had a bar downstairs, and they had ping pong, they had pool, they had bowling, lots of arcade machines and stuff. They had bumper cars, crazy stuff.
Excellent, excellent. How many J-Mods have you met so far there?
A lot.
And all very nice
people,
I assume.
Oh, they are very nice, yeah.
Excellent.
Well, they have to be nice, don't they?
Well, yeah, of course, because they are the the public face of the game that we play and going forward.
They are the hosts, per se.
Yeah, so I'm going to let you go shortly, but anything else that you want to tell the podcast listeners?
Not that much, just having a good fun time here, just like last couple of years.
All right, and where are you off to now, and what are you most looking forward to for the rest of the day?
Well, right now I'm going to head out, see if I can find some food before it all gets eaten up, because there's lots of hungry mouths around here. I'm also going to find Carl, see where he went.
All right.
Otherwise, I've got a certain specific mod you want me to headhunt, so I'm going to try to seek him out.
All righty. Well, thank you, Alex. There you have it, listeners. That is Alex43 live, pseudo-live from RuneFest. All right. Thank you, Alex. It was a pleasure talking to you at RuneFest. Definitely worth staying up so late to catch up with you. But next up, Chronicle. RuneScape Chronicle was announced last year at RuneFest. It's going to be in beta this November. We'll get to try it. And it's launching in 2016 for the browser and for the tablet. Of course, the idea is you'll be playing Chronicle just as you're playing, you know, RuneScape Skilligan Profitinus, I guess.
Yep.
I'm going to admit and say that, you know, right now, looking at Chronicle, I mean, it's an interesting idea, but I don't know how they're going to, you know, make an appeal to the general RS community. And I think I said that last year as well. So,
well, the answer was lying right in front of you when you were watching the stream. There were literally like 2 dozen people in the room, I think, watching it. The audience was pretty much empty. So that was kind of show. I mean, you have to look at it like RuneFest attendees probably are like hardcore RuneScape players. So
those are
not necessarily the most interesting Chronicle. Like, I was in the clan chat at that time, and some people really like the ID, so maybe there are people that are going to play it. But the interest at RuneFest was very limited. It made me feel bad for the mods that were standing on these stage.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope it succeeds because JX needs a hit that's not, you know, like a RuneScape. So
it looks really interesting. Like, they really tried making a card game that's different from the other games. I mean, I only paid half attention to the stream, but they really tried going out of the way, making it creative, making it new. But that it was announced last year, and then it got a bit caught up in the Hearthstone hype, which is like very similar in a way. It's like,
yeah,
take a famous brand, make a card game out of it, make big bucks. So in a way, Chronicle came too late, and then have already been working on it for a year now, and it really feels like a long time working on it.
Yeah, and I mean, when it was announced last year, I was hoping that we'd see a beta in 2015, but that never materialized. So, I mean, obviously, they're still working on it, and it speaks to the design methodology of it, that, you know, they're able to change things and be agile with it, so to speak. But the thing that it really needs to do is it needs to just not be Hearthstone with RuneScape characters. It needs to, you know, have a strong tie into the game, which they mentioned last year. So that needs to go forward.
I mean, it has that. It has that tie into RuneScape lore. It is different from Hearthstone. It's still about the deck building, but the way of playing is completely different. But people won't view it as a big thing because they already have Hearthstone. I think it's going to be something that's a bit undersnowed by the other games that already came out. Like I said, they are too late in a way.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, what we were talking about with Invention and Elite Skills. Opinions form early. In fact, they probably formed last year about this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to sound as though, you know, the success is already on the wall, but it could very well be written on the wall as to what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, if they're really focusing on getting RuneScape players to play this game, that's not going to be enough. You need to attract other players as well, if possible, because you want to make a hit out of this. Because Jagex, I think, can really use another big game next to RuneScape.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, we feel it at the high end of the game, and we don't have any, you know, scientific numbers about it, but it always feels as though that the game is saturated with endgame players, and it's lacking new people coming into the game.
Yep.
And we feel that on a fansite front, and you guys probably feel that on a clan front as well.
Yeah, a lot of even newer members we add to our clan. Like, our clan is about questing, so the ranks are done according to quest points, and almost all the people we invite, we can immediately rank up to, like, one of the top ranks. Like, the only low-level players we have in our clan active usually are Iron Man or Hardcore Iron Man.
Yeah, so maybe it can pull people in. We'll have to wait and see on that. But
yeah. I mean, the game looks good. The game looked really smooth. It felt very fluid. Like, from a design standpoint, the game looked really solid. Like, I haven't played it myself, so it's really difficult to judge if it's fun. But I subscribed to the beta, and I'm going to give it a chance. because I think the gameplay is solid, and if they can really do something, pull something off like Hearthstone, I think that would be great. I think they deserve it, but we'll have to wait and see. That might be a nice plug, by the way, for people who are interested in playing the beta. You can sign up at rschronicle.com, and then you will be able to. And then you can fill in your email address, and in November you might get an email, and then you can just log in with your RuneScape account and play.
Yep, I've signed up. And I mean, this goes back to what we were discussing with, you know, the client in RuneScape, just known as some browser game. They really got to break that stigma, and this will help.
Yep. So
maybe I'll have to get some of my non-RS playing friends to give this a go and see what they make of it. All right. Yeah. So, RuneScape 2016.
Oh, God.
What we have all been waiting for, hearing about. And, you know, we've heard some rumors of things that were going to be happening. And we got a general outline of the year. But remember, it's also safe to say that there are things that were not mentioned here that they will be doing. They explicitly said that. So that makes me feel good. Because it's been so long since we had no idea what the year was going to consist of. So a little bit of surprise is good.
I had mixed feelings. They were comparing it to doing things like Darkscape, and I didn't like the way Darkscape dropped at all. So in a way, I'm a bit scared about what they're going to do for surprises. But yes, it's good that they keep some secrets from us.
Yeah. All right. Let's start with the list. We already talked about invention and elite skills. We beat that topic to death earlier. God Wars Dungeon 2, that was apparently the most popular update that they pulled this summer in that survey.
Interesting, but not terribly surprising.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about it, God Wars, first ever, you know, difficult back in the day PvM encounter that there was, so new gods, new story, might as well look into that. So that's good, I think.
And still popular even among high level players.
Oh yeah, I mean, I know people all the time who go solo the various generals, and sometimes not so much necks, but you do get the odd necks fight, so that's good. And, of course, we also mentioned the Saren and Tuska God Swords. Part of me is wondering what the special attacks will look like.
We'll have to wait and see. I guess that's one of the surprises.
Yeah.
If they don't give it away in one of the BTS videos.
This is done by the same team who did Raids, Araxor, and Virago, so they know what they're doing with combat. But, yeah, we already discussed this earlier in the combat showcase. Just going back to that for a brief moment, I think this is going to be a larger and more well-received update in 2016 than the second batch of raids will.
Yeah. You might be right with it, because it's accessible, it's recognizable, it's something people have always wanted, it's going to fit in the sixth age,
And, of course, the next update that, I mean, really, really surprised Jagex. They had no idea this many people wanted it, but this was the most requested update from players that were on a break, and third most popular from current RS players, and that's the mining and smithing rework. So, I mean, Runeplate bodies level 99? No, don't need any of that. So that's basically what is going to be rectified with that. I mean, we didn't really get much information on this, did we?
The literal reason for that is because they haven't started on it yet. There was no information to give. There was no information. They literally said during the presentation, we have no idea what we're going to do, but we are going to do it.
Isn't that kind of worrying, being almost, I mean, it's October now. And you got to think prototyping, if they started this week, would take them to the end of the year.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be one of the end of the year updates because it's quite it's really huge. So I think we're looking at something that might work the same as Elf City. Like, they're gonna release design documents. We might be able to talk to the mods about what we think of it. But if you look at how long the Elf City took, that was like started in February and ended in August.
Yeah,
so
6 months.
I mean, it is definitely possible to do it within 1 year. So I'm really not worried that they haven't started yet. I mean, the survey they based this on also is only like 2 months old, I think.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks or so. So, yeah. I mean, they haven't had that much time yet. I mean, I imagine they only finished their planning 1 or 2 weeks ago, if not later.
Yeah. And then, of course, they say top-end gear that will complement or give cheaper alternatives to the bigger hitting gear from drops without replacing or undermining them. And, I mean, this is what I've been saying ever since the God Wars came out and introduced the trend of PVM reward combat gear.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. Because I do not want to go camp at, you know, God Wars or, you know, Araxor to get the Araxi bow to have a level 90 ranged weapon. Because Ascensions, those are still hideously expensive. So, I mean, smithing wouldn't be the way to deliver a ranged weapon, I don't think. Could it?
No, that would be fletching. But, yeah, I mean, they now have a chance to take the invention ID. They can take all the current weapons in the game, find a balance, and make sure that smithing once again becomes an acceptable way or a doable way of getting your gear together instead of just PVM.
Yeah,
because there are people
exactly.
who enjoy the skilling side more. And
like me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, combat is fine, but in the end, I'm more of a skiller than a combat person, I think. So everything that gives skills a bit more meaning to the game is good.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at it, at the end of the day, it's a question of where you want to spend your time. And it's for, you know, this precise reason that we don't have this update that I haven't got 99 smithing and 99 mining is because the skills are useless right now. I want to train them in a useful way. So that's why those skills are on hold.
I got 99 mining to 7 stones, but you're right about smithing. I'm not training it because I don't see any use in it.
Exactly.
Except for maybe maxing out my dungeoneering binds, because dungeoneering has the right smithing requirements.
Yeah. And, I mean, after this comes out, I'll happily get 99 smithing and 99 mining. So, there you go. Next up, a quest dealing with Nomad.
A quest? I think you should treat them as, like, the quartet they are.
Well, I mean, okay, we'll call it four of them. There's four quests coming out pertaining to, well, the Six Age and Sliske's games that he's been carrying out. The first one deals with Nomad. He is very close to godhood, they say, which I think we gathered from Dishonor Among Thieves, depending on your choices.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see this, and I'm wondering if we will have to fight Nomad again.
I'm pretty sure we have to, so I have to go to the city center and get myself some new underwear. Because that's not going to be fun. So, yeah, I mean, people have been voting on Nomad's Requiem 2 in a poll, and Nomad's Requiem was all about difficult combat at a time.
It was the fight! The boss fight. That's all there
so,
was to it.
People want a sequel to that, so they have to have difficult combat in there. I mean, that's just putting one and one together.
I'm worried.
Yeah, me too.
But, it took me lucky 13 way back when. to get that.
I think I got it on the second or the third try, but after reading every guide I could find on the internet.
Did you do it before or after Evolution of Combat?
Before, because I thought it would get more difficult with EOC, so I rushed it. Yeah, and then it became, yeah. But I can proudly say I killed Nomad before EOC came out. And I haven't killed him again in the Dominion Tower since, so there you go.
Same for me. But
still have to do that.
Yeah, so Sliske's Countdown Endgame is the final one. And then we have a second quest that deals with... the second one was the Barrows Brothers.
Yes. Yeah, Ballad of the Barrow Brothers.
That's interesting.
It's going to introduce a Barrow sister. And I want to quote one of her clan members. I forgot who it was, but their response was, gender equality much.
Well, I mean... And there's no, there's nothing in the lore previously hinting that there was a Barrow sister, was there?
It feels a bit like put in there. Like, same thing they did with Lord of Vampirium. They suddenly put something new in, new character, and built stuff from there, which is it really necessary? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting.
And to quote from the news post, can you release her and her brothers from Sliske's grasp? Does she need or want to be rescued? And can you remove the centuries-long curse of the Barrow's brothers? I think that would be an interesting way, you know, to end that side of the Sliske storyline.
Barrow's brothers and Sliske are intertwined. And I think it's great that we're going to see them becoming part of the storyline and having, like, a nice end to it would be a good way of dealing with that.
Yeah. All right. And then, of course, when they were doing the presentation, they skipped over this quest, the next one, which is Fate of the Gods 2.
Insert epic this music.
This one... Yeah, this one is going to be the quest that is, I mean, probably the benchmark for the series, if not second best quest in the series relating to the finale. Because this one deals with, well, a simple way of putting it is Zaros versus Zamorak. They'll get to settle that score from way back when.
Yeah, and they said they want the storyline to involve like important decisions that come back in the finale. So part of me hopes we are going to be able to influence who wins. And we might also see the influence in the choice we made in Fate of the Gods if we allowed Zaros to return in a dark suit or a white suit. I don't know how they're called again. Difficult
and wasn't
name.
There also some question in Dishonor Among Thieves how powerful Zamorak could be? You could have some influence in that?
Ooh, I forgot about that, but that might be very true. So it would be really interesting to see those two things come together and see some of our influences triple through the other quests.
Now, a question I was thinking as I was watching this. Does Zamorak die at the end of this quest? Because I don't think they could kill Zaros off.
That would be interesting. Killing off Zamorak would be a big thing. Then again, there is the scoreboard of god kills.
Yep.
They have to start killing off some gods, because otherwise there's not much interesting things going on there.
But on the other hand, does Zaros really care about Sliske's scoreboard?
That's the question we will find out.
I don't know. You're just going along promoting you know, all the questions and whatnot. Very good. I don't know. It's gonna be a huge, huge discussion as to what happens here. And I mean, I honestly think this is going to be the most intense and probably, you know, biggest, grandest quest that'll ever be in RS. Maybe next to the World Wakes, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
The Sixth Age is about this, and this is one of the pillars, I think, they yes. talked about. Yeah. So, yes, this is going to be very big. There's still the other pillars, of course, like the Elder Gods is one of them, the Dragonkin. Those, of course, are not really involved in this. So we're also going to see those plots moving forward at some point. And I assume they will come together in one big Sixth Age finale that moves us into the Seventh Age.
Mm.
And that's going to be massive.
Yeah, and I mean, we forgot to also say... that the reason behind Fate of the Gods 2 is, of course, that Ma is starting to awaken and is, you know, intent on destroying the universe and starting.
She wants to start over, basically. Yeah.
So the Ma Jorada on Gilenor and, you know, home is Frenisgate, so it's gonna, you know, start with that, obviously.
Yeah. But
huge quest. We already talked lots about it. But anyways, the final part of the quartet is Sliske's endgame.
I hope we get to stab him.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've made choices along the way, and you said that, you know, they would be nice if they put some choices in Fate of the Gods 2 and whatnot.
Yeah.
But choices are actually going to come into play in Sliske's endgame here. So much so that there's actually going to be a deleted scenes mechanism so that you can see parts of the quest that you're fenced off of from your choice path.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm always curious as to what if. What if I made the other choice? What if I chose the other dialogue option? On the other hand, it also makes it feel less of a choice at that point. I mean, the story is still going to move forward as if you made that choice. So even you can, if you can watch back the scenes, it's not going to influence what's really happening. But there is, it's not no longer I want to see either this or that. That's not going to happen anymore. And it feels immersion breaking that you can go back to the deleted scenes and figure out if you made the right choice. Because in real life, you would.
That's right.
So,
and, I mean, like, maybe if this was an option on the website or YouTube videos or something like that, and then, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be something your character was doing.
YouTube videos are going to come out anyway. So, in a way, you can also look at it from the standpoint of people who want to figure it out can figure it out anyway, so might as well put it in the game.
That's true.
You can always,
and of course. Sorry, go ahead.
You can always not watch them.
Yep, and of course, nothing will necessarily be what it seems, and that's the general theme with Sliske. All right, and of course, God Scoreboard. So, other things in 2016. Next game client, we talked about that at length already. Solo boss encounter?
Yeah, they had a really interesting idea from the concept artist where you actually go into some place and have to, like, make the gear you use on the spot.
That's good.
That was really interesting because that means it's no longer about getting the tier 90 armor and having lots of money to get into that boss. No. You have to make everything on the spot. You can put some skilling in there. Like, having better skills will help you getting better gear for the boss. And that might make this kind of boss really accessible. But this was also one of those things where they said to the concept artists, go away with whatever you want to do. And we don't really have any ideas yet. So
yeah, that's true. So, I mean, it could end up being something completely different. But I know there has been talk of a skilling boss, I think, at the last two or three RuneFests, so it's not a foreign concept.
There was no mention of that here, though.
Yeah, and I think this is as close as we can get to it if this you know, did come out with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Quirky content. Bottle quests.
Oh,
are we excited about that?
I am really excited about it. Like, if you go back to all the old quests, there are a few big things, but there are also your small quirky quests. Like, one of the examples that comes to mind is, how is it called? One Small Favor.
Oh,
I know a lot of people don't like the quest, but the humor is amazing. And it's one of those things that, I mean, One Small Favor is something that could have been a bottle quest because it doesn't really use any new assets.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is going to allow Jagger's developers, maybe even on their own, to just tell a quirky story and do something funny. And, I mean, that is what was very appealing to me in RuneScape, like the quirky humor, the quests, the completely random stuff you come across, like My Arms Big Adventure. I mean, come on, that must be one of the best quests ever made.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Mm-hmm. So putting the tools in place, putting development time in making these kinds of quests, that is good, because that means, I mean, 6H contest is cool, but I would gladly, like, trade in one of those quests per year for a few of these smaller quirky quests, because that's what makes the RuneScape world so
rich and unique.
I would almost say British, but
Oh, yeah, that works, I guess, when you think about it. And, I mean, every quest we've had this year and last year has, you know, been on huge scale. I mean, with the exception of Heart of Stone last year, introducing the Elder Gods, and coming up this November, the Gobi quest. So, I mean, it is going to be nice to get back to quests that
are quite big.
Yeah. To get back to quests that aren't, you know, like, quests that you need to sit down for 2.5 hours for, and you get these 2.5 hour long podcast episodes discussing them. So,
mm-hmm.
It's not that we don't enjoy doing that, but I'm trying to remember, can I have a sequel to Enlightened Journey, please?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I know. The Captain Picard quest, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be my favorite one in the game.
I mean, there are lots of small little quests that I probably forgot about because they don't have that much impact on the game, but they did build the game experience altogether. And I think going back to that is going back to RuneScape's roots.
Completely agree with you there. All right, so Bottle Quest, that's going to be good. Let's see, Chronicle, already talked about that. More raids. Okay. Hit on that in the combat area. Invention. Then, of course, more tech trees later on in the year, which is good. Let me come to the point, the elephant in the room, so to speak, player power and Rune Labs.
Yep.
So, player power in Rune Labs is, you know, effectively going to be having a minor role compared to what it had this year and last year.
Mm-hmm.
Players are going to be given the opportunity to submit ideas for a new landmass, continent, or city. Then, you know, they'll put it in a game, and then ideas will be driven by the players for that area.
Yeah.
So, ideas that potentially came up, you know, was a new continent, perhaps, or Menaphos. I think
Fossil
that would be
Island.
The one to go with. Yeah.
Fossil Island.
Yeah, is that what the dinosaurs are from in this picture?
Yeah, the image are for Fossil Island, and some other people think it's one big archaeological dig site. So opinions are different on what that island actually is, but that, of course, depends on the RuneLab's ID.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that would be a great way to have an archaeology elite skill. I would be 100% behind that.
I, in a way, would really like if players came up with something new, because RuneLab's has mostly been about parroting IDs from JMods, but
yes,
having something original,
yeah,
would be.
That's right. And of course, the underwater city, we've heard that before, so
that's going to be what's going to win the poll, right?
You think?
The underwater city? Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, like you said, it would be nice to have original ideas, and even Jagex said that themselves. So I don't know. I mean, what good they're doing mentioning Fossil Island, Menaphos, and the underwater city. So
Yeah, it's a bit, they're cutting their own fingers with this, so.
Yeah. Later RuneLab's ideas will ask for a quest, D&D, or minigame to go into that area.
Yeah. That's straight from the survey.
Yeah, that's right. And there's one more large quest coming next year. The finale to the Myrick series.
Yeah. Fifth Age.
Yeah, Fifth Age. So that's going to, you know, be interesting.
That's going to be interesting. And I think it's not a bad thing picking this up right now and putting an end to it, because, I mean, they said they wanted to finish off some storylines, and they could now go, for example, to the Gnome series, and then for another big series, and then come back to Vampires, but it's still fresh now, and it's really difficult to add a sequel to a quest if, like, there's a huge technology gap. So by putting the quests closely together, they don't have to rework all the previous quests to make everything in one line again. So
yes, yeah, right.
I think there's also some technical arguments that were important in deciding that this quest is coming out now.
Yeah, and I mean, looking back on it, Lord of Vampirium, that was a good quest. So let's
get this
out of the way before people forget that.
And people are now still excited about having the sequel. And I mean, I know that I had to read up on Branches of Darkmire to know what exactly happened, because it was all so long ago. And by putting it a bit closer together, people actually still remember a bit. And I think it's a good decision altogether.
And you don't need to do another epically long What Happened Then. What happens?
No. I can just copy paste the one I have and add a bit behind it. Yeah, gonna save me a bit of time.
All right, so that's most of 2016. I want to say coming to RuneScape. We got one more thing that we're gonna talk about in just a few moments. But right now, I got a chance to sit down with Miss Alaska and get her perception on RuneFest and her travels to the UK. So let's have a listen to that right now. And now we're with Miss Alaska from Clan Quest joining us for a bit of a discussion about RuneFest and, well, maybe the adventure getting there, seeing as you are from Australia. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
So tell us a bit about yourself, how long you've been with Clan Quest.
Okay, well, I've been with Clan Quest since 2012. I went through a stage where I sort of just went without quests in RuneScape, and at that time I was into questing, and I was really enjoying the quests in the game and starting to really form an appreciation for all the lore. So when I was hunting for a clan on the forums, I was specifically looking for a quest clan and chanced upon Clan Quest, and that's where I am to this day.
And the rest is history.
Yes.
All right, so RuneFest 2015, Australia and London couldn't be
very
further,
far apart.
Yeah, they couldn't be further apart. So what compels someone to travel halfway across the world for RuneFest?
Oh, well, I mean, look, I've seen past RuneFests on video, on live streams, and I've been, you know, following what they broadcast from it. And it looks like something that I would like to be at. I've always wanted to go to it. And I guess this year it sort of just worked schedule-wise. I mean, it worked for my schedule. I had some free space here and financially it was feasible. And, you know, I'm 18 now. Like, I was still underage,
right.
And it's like I was able to travel alone and it would have been okay. So it was all sort of clicking into place. And also it was on my birthday. So when they released the date, that was something that sort of pushed me, like, it has to be this year. I have to go this year.
Well, happy birthday then.
Oh, thank you.
So, RuneFest was initially a two-day event, and it's become a one-day event over time, but some say it's a two-day event with the night before party and everything. I assume you went to the night before party?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Okay.
So I loved it. It was great.
What
I mean, going there early, I walked there alone and it was a bit awkward because I wasn't sure if I was supposed to go inside or not. And, you know, I was going to meet people, but I was there alone for a little bit. But I sort of talked to people while waiting in line in queue. And one guy kind of said hi to me while I was standing by myself. And we made friends that way. And it actually just went really smoothly from there. So yeah, it was good. Sorry, I went off track there.
That's quite all right. What did you do at the night before party? I know there was pool and
I mean, it was packed. I went early, but eventually the whole place was packed. Even though they did make bigger space this year, it was still quite busy. And so there were what I did. I mostly hung out with people and just because this was the chance to sort of meet people for the first time, get to know them, you know, people you might have known in game for so long but had never met properly. This was our chance to meet them. So I mostly spent a lot of it socializing, meeting old friends, meeting random new people just from that night. And later on, I mean, there are things like arcade games, you know, music, pubs. I mean, I got a drink and, you know, just chilled out for a bit. Got forced into playing a game of pool on the billiard table.
How did that go?
And I'm happy with that. I mean, yeah, I mean, I haven't played it in years, so
okay.
I did not want to play it. But I got forced into it, and in the end, I had lots of fun, and our team won, so that was great.
Great.
and after that, I played some table tennis. And that got pretty competitive too. So towards the end of the night, I was having a blast. It was really good.
That's always nice. So going forward with that, what's it like meeting someone from the online world before? Because I know there's lots of people who, you know, might not have done that before.
See, I met some clanmates on Thursday before the night before, and that was the weirdest point for me because it was the first time. But just meeting people that you had you sort of know well, but technically you haven't met. I mean, it's such a weird thing, and it for me it was surreal because you know them, but you haven't seen their face, you haven't met them like a real person, and it was just the weirdest thing. But it was never awkward. I mean, somehow it worked out. We were like actual. It felt like we had been friends for so long. And we share the common interest of RuneScape, and it just kicks off from there. You just sort of find that you have similar things in common, and you grow to have fun together. And it was surreal, crazy, weird, but it was awesome, and I loved it.
All right, well, that's good. I'm glad that everyone turned out to be living up
nice
to
people.
Your expectations and nice people.
Yeah.
So how many people did we have there from Clan Quest?
Quite a few. I mean, I was quite lucky that this year so many people who I knew had gone to RuneFest. So we had the Boone,
of course.
Drazu. We had Vodka B, who's quite a regular RuneFest attendee. We have Proto Man, I'm pretty sure this is his second one. Okay. And we had Alex. I'm trying to remember.
43.
He's got a number next to his name. 43. Alec. And we tried so hard to find him. He was being very stealthy.
Yeah.
We couldn't find him at the night before party. We eventually found him at RuneFest after much struggle. So quite a stealthy guy.
Yeah, that's typical Alex.
I really
43.
Hope I'm not missing anyone, though. I really hope I'm not missing anyone.
Well, if you did, we'll just say.
I'm pretty sure that was it.
There was lots.
If I'm missing anyone, please don't blame me. I haven't had much sleep the past 2 days, so yeah, I'm pretty sure that was it.
There's lots of good Clan Quest folks at RuneFest.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
Moving into the actual RuneFest day, how many people in RuneFest would you say were dressed up, percentage wise?
Quite a lot. I mean, you know, it ranges from people just wearing party hats and capes, which, you know, they made themselves and it looks awesome. And then you have, you know, people in dressing up as characters. There were so many. There was probably, I mean, at least half, I don't know, in half of them in costume. I saw so many good cosplays, so many good outfit pieces. You know, kudos to the people in the full-on, you know, armor, you know, Tezuka wearing from the Serenic armor guy last year. He was once again in Malevolent, wow, fully donned armor. And my heart goes out to the guy because it must have been such a struggle trying to walk around in that stuff. And, you know, similar types walking around in full on outfits that they probably spent months working on. But impressive cosplays and so many of them. So you were kind of immersed in a RuneScape, a vibrant RuneScape outing during the day. It was great.
And you went as Lucian, so how'd that go for you?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, like, oh, it was uncomfortable though. I mean, it was because I was wearing so many layers and like cotton wool because I'm not a man, so I had to kind of push the chest out a little bit, and I had like a cotton wool under thing, which was like wearing a blanket. Ooh. Like a, you know, it was hot. It was very, very hot. So I was very glad to change out of it by the end of the day. But you know what? I don't regret it though, because I wanted to go as Lucian, just because I'm a quester, and I had to pay some homage to, you know, my a prestigious RuneScape character. So I picked Lucian just because I'm a fan of Wild Gothic Sleet's Ritual of the Mardrat, and to me he was the villain of RuneScape for so long. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. If I went to RuneFest again, I don't know if I'd cosplay. It was so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable shuffling around. But it was cool to kind of be in the theme of things and kind of be a RuneScape character for a day. It was good.
Are you a little upset that you weren't picked for the cosplay contest?
No, right. Not at all. Because when I started seeing pictures of all my competition, I did not expect to get chosen whatsoever. There were some really impressive cosplays. You know, I don't want to be choosy, but there was a really good Ariane. There was a dragon, which I don't even know how they made that. I'm talking about the girls though. I mean, they pick a male cosplay, right, and a female cosplay for the awards. You know, and there were so many other girls who had incredible, fully, you know, obviously spent months working on these costumes, and yeah, no, not for a second. I didn't think I'd get picked.
All right.
So I'm happy to the ones that did get chosen. There were so many deserving cosplayers.
Well, that
there.
Question was from Wolfie. We got another one from him here. So obviously being at RuneFest, you heard about invention and, you know, elite skills. So what's your take on invention being an elite skill?
Well, I didn't go to the session for it simply because there is just so much to do at RuneFest. You actually have to skip. I would have gone to all the sessions, but you have to skip some in order to be able to do other activities during the day. But I know Proto Man did go to the invention session, so he would have a lot to say on it. But my take on it, I feel like it's good because while I am not much of a skill, I don't love skilling. But you know, I enjoy anything new put into the game. It's just, it's good because I think that is where the game is at. We are reaching a point where many players are at the end game, and I think it's good that they're stretching the limits now and they're giving more space and they're adding more, this is offering a chance for more content, and it's pushing the boundaries a little bit because at the moment we're all kind of congested towards that end game where we don't know what to do with ourselves. And I think this is going to give some life into the game and give so much more to do there. And I guess they could start pulling in more content relating to invention. And I'm curious to see where it goes, and I have faith that they will do something great with it. So I'm looking forward
to
it.
All right, good to hear. So did you get a chance to have a look at the new game client?
I did. We went over as a group, and we, like, I logged on at one point. We all took turns logging on. The graphics, I don't know if it's, like, the computers they had are obviously better. Like, I play RuneScape on my laptop, and it's not always that great. But, and, you know, the computers at RuneFest were probably, you know, high-end ones. But they do say how NXT is going to be something that will be, you know, quite a good performance regardless of what computer you're using. But what I pictured there, I mean, what I visualized there is phenomenal graphics, everything animated, like the draw distance on some environments are incredible. We went to places like Wizard's Tower, which we could see, like, you know, we weren't sure if it was a skybox or actual, like, draw distance. I think it was a skybox, but it looked amazing. Went to Dominion Tower, but we couldn't see anything. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to deliver. People are going to love what they see when it's released.
All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it? In terms,
like,
of
freaking
beautifulness. All
10,
right, 10.
Probably 10. 10. I'm loving it.
All right, well, that one was from Wig. So moving on to what we're going to be having in 2016. I know you went to this session. What do you think of Fate of the Gods 2?
Fate of the Gods 2. So they touched a little bit on this. They do have plans, big plans for quests in 2016. It is going to be epic. But about Fate of the Gods 2, the way they're thinking of doing it, I think it's going to... I'm trying to think now. They mentioned how at the end of Fate of the Gods, there was some piece of... like, something they were going to put in, but they ended up cutting it out. And apparently that's going to be now worked into Fate of the Gods.
That's the Zamorak versus Zaros and battle, I believe.
Yes, so this is what it's about. So they showed us concept art of a Zamorak versus Zaros, and everyone cheered when it came up. So that's one thing planned. There's also going to be probably another thing is something to do with Mar. So Mar is going to basically start... she's angry at the moment, and she's going to start doing something big on Frenesque, and it's going to have some huge effect, and I think it's going to cause a lot of destruction. Obviously it's Mar, and this is also going to involve the Margerat on Gilinor, because they do have affiliation,
right,
with Frenesque, yeah. And they're going to want to intervene with this, because they don't, apparently, according to what they've said, they don't want to, the Margerat don't want to see Frenesque be ravaged by Mar or changed in any way. So it's going to be... so they're going to tie in the Margerat as well. I don't know if that related to the Zaros and Zamorak face-off. I can't remember if that was Fate of Gods 2 either. It could be both. So, yeah. But big things, huge things are coming. Just you wait.
All right. So you're looking forward to the quest then?
I am definitely looking forward to them. I think 2016 is just going to be the biggest quests I've ever been. They're really playing it up a lot. And I think, considering what quests have been like this year in terms of drama and, you know, just raising the stakes, I think it's just going to be fantastic and it will deliver. So, looking
forward to it. All right,
well,
that question was from Wig. Anything else about the 2016 release schedule that jumps out at you?
Okay, well, Wig is going to hate this, but 2016 is going to be a big Sliskay year. So what we've got is they said there's going to be 4 massive quests relating to Sliskay's tournament, and each one is going to successively lead up to the finale, so the end game of this big tournament of gods killing each other for the Stone of Jass. And it's going to be a conclusion for his tournament and a conclusion to the Stone of Jass, which began with while Guffix sleeps, pretty much. So what we've got, I can't remember what the first one was. I know we've got one where it focuses on the Barrios,
yes,
brothers,
I
and it's going to focus on
number 2.
Yeah, there is a particular order, but there's one with the Barrios brothers, and it's focusing on his on Sliskay's affiliation with them. And I think what they said is we're going to find out more about Sliskay's,
yes,
motives.
That's right.
We're going to find out more about his character. Things, we're going to receive answers, because up until now he's been such a, you know, we don't know what's going on with him. He's always keeping his cards close to his chest. So we will find out more and there will be answers. And they did mention a Barrow's sister. So that's quite
interesting.
New.
Because I don't think we've ever heard anything,
yes,
on that before.
Okay, well, there is also a relationship between Sisko and the Barrow sister. So there are some really interesting concepts they're bringing forth here, and it's going to be amazing to see what ends up coming out of it. So I'm looking forward to that quest. Obviously, Fate of the Gods too. I don't think that's not the end game finale. I think that's just
Yeah, that's
part
the
of it.
third.
I think that's just part of the series. Yep. I can't even remember what the first one
Yeah,
was, though.
I'm sorry, neither can I. We'll sort that out.
I know it's. I was just. Yeah. Okay. It blurred
Yeah.
through. The day was
Yeah.
too
No
exciting.
problem.
And obviously, we do have the big Motherlode. We have the end game of the tournament. It sounds huge because what they've said is they're pulling in so many quests that we've had in the recent years. So like One of a Kind, Heart of Stone, Fate of the Gods, The Light Within, I think, was one. All the world events, like Bandos versus Armadyl. Everyone versus Tusker, all of this is going to play into this final quest, and it sounds like one hell of a quest, and I can't wait. I'm like too excited. I can't believe I have to wait a whole
Well,
year for
let
this,
me
so
just tell you that at least you're not waiting 10 years as we did for the finale of the
yes,
elves.
I'm so happy. So a thing they've mentioned lately is they want to keep momentum with quests. And this is awesome. Like they, rather than doing one quest from each series every now and again, they sort of want to do series in one succession. So they just want to get through one series and finish it. So they've mentioned how they want to conclude the Maruki series next year, and we've only just received the recent Maruki que Maruki quest last month. So they actually want to bring in the last one, the finale, next year, and I think that's great because everyone is so keen for it too. And they do want to keep up momentum with things, and while everyone's still hyped about it, and that's a good move, I think that's a great decision.
Yeah, and
So
on
yeah.
the other hand, after that's done, it opens us up to whatever new storylines might be waiting in 2017. But
Exactly. There's always option for other. I mean, I'm sure they will be tying in. It won't just be about this one storyline, the tournament for the Stone of Jasper. There will be other quests that they will focus on throughout the year, and little mini ones. Shorter, more enclosed stories elsewhere, and they do manage to get that balance usually. It's good.
All right. Well, keeping on the track of quests. You went to the quest Q&A session.
Well, yeah, that's,
of
yeah.
course.
I've probably brushed on a
Of
lot of
course.
things at the Q&A session. I enjoyed
What
it.
was the most interesting question asked there?
This is hard because, I mean, the whole time I was just in awe that I was in front of my J-Mod idols, Mod Osborne. I think it was Mod Osborne, Mod Stu. Sorry, I'm not answering the question. Mod Osborne, Mod Stu, Mod Jack, Mod Rowley, and Mod Ollie. I hope I'm not missing anyone there. But I was, yeah. So I'm trying to think of a question, and I think something that someone brought up was about, I think it was to do with boss fights. Or puzzles, I can't remember which. It was something to do with having alternative options of things. So let's say instead of just being forced into a boss fight during a quest, you have the option to take a different route. I guess it could be a puzzle or something. And I guess having more flexibility with that. And I mean, I guess the way the J-Mods answered it is that, they're wondering whether people would like that, if it would sort of devalue the quest in a way that certain people take particular paths. And I can't remember too much else. Sorry, I'm assuming they're going to
Yeah, they
upload
will.
these sessions on their YouTube
They'll
channel,
be up on
so
Monday.
you have to watch the session. Yeah, well, hopefully. But you would have to watch the session to get the full scope of things. But yeah, I feel like it was an interesting question. I don't know where I am on that. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right. Did anyone by chance ask about the decisions that drove Heroes Welcome?
I think someone did bring it up. It was something about, oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm trying to. I'm probably. I'm trying to. I thought someone brought up something about killing characters too soon, but I think I might just be imagining that. I know I've talked to so many people in the game about how they kill characters so often these days. Sorry, what was the question again?
Did anyone bring up Heroes Welcome and mainly the fact how it turned into a
Mainly V.
Dragon King quest?
I know it was touched upon though. I don't know if someone asked a question regarding it. My memory is that bad, but I know it was brought up, and I'm pretty sure Heroes Welcome, that's another quest that will probably tie into the
Of
end game
course,
quest next
yeah.
year. So, obviously,
All
yeah.
right. Anything else from the quest Q&A or RuneFest in general you'd like to tell people about?
Oh God. I mean, it was crazy. So much fun. Probably the best fun I've had in my life. Like, it really was. I mean, coupled with my trip to the UK, it was probably the best time I've ever had. It was surreal. And it was just, it was more like, I was already expecting something really big, but it went above and beyond. And yeah, I think the quests, everything to do with quests was the highlight. I mean, I'm a quester, so all the quests got me excited, but there was so much more content that they touched upon in the 2016 reveals. That was a great session, in the main stage. So there is so much in store for 2016. Oh, and, I mean, I got to meet the Galwer brothers, and I was fangirling. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was great that they made it up. They're so humble too.
Yeah, like, that's what I gathered from the video.
They weren't really
as well.
Wearing JMod. Yeah, they weren't really wearing t-shirts with their names on it, or not very clearly, not like the other mods. And they were, you know, they moved around a bit, and it took some effort to try and find
them. Did you manage to snag a photo?
So eventually, yeah, I got a photo taken. I got Andrew to sign my book, but I didn't get Paul to, and I felt so, because they were, you know, eventually everyone found them, I guess, and I didn't want to interrupt them too much. I felt too unworthy. But yeah, it was great. I got a photo, such nice guys, and again, yeah, I'm looking forward to that documentary. So I know the Gower brothers are going to be involved in the 15th anniversary content for RuneScape, so that's awesome. And they had some involvement in the documentary, and that documentary is, I'm looking forward to it, because it got quite nostalgic and got quite, it looks
Me
like
too.
Such a well-made documentary.
When I was watching it.
Yeah. Good things are in store.
Make sure you post that on the forums, the photo.
The photo of the get. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll make sure
to.
That
one, definitely. So in addition to RuneFest, what else did you accomplish in the UK?
Leading up to RuneFest, I'd been here for 2 weeks, and I knew that to make the most of this time, I had to do a lot of stuff, as tiring as it became. So I did things like the London Eye. Like, I did all the essentials, like go to London Eye. I went to the Tower of London with Draz and Vodka, so that was great. Tower of London is quite gruesome, though, because a lot of prisons were held there in medieval times. So, you know, I just did a bus tour and saw all the highlights, like Big Ben, which is now called Queen Elizabeth's Clock or something. They renamed it for a Jubilee. Yeah. But yeah, it's sort of the highlight. I saw the Tower Bridge. I actually saw it go up too.
Oh, nice.
You know how it lifts up for boats. So I saw that once. So I did a day trip to Edinburgh Scotland. And that was lots of mountains, decent weather. It was really nice to see. Did a day trip to Paris. And that was nuts because it was the first time I've been anywhere where people don't speak English. And it was so weird. I was by myself, you know, and yeah. Eventually I found the tour bus and I got to be shown around everywhere, see all the hotspots. And I got off at the Eiffel Tower just to take about a billion photos of me in front of the Eiffel Tower. Because I couldn't believe it. I had to keep pinching myself there. I'm planning to go to some museums tomorrow with some friends from RuneFest. So I'm looking forward to that.
Good.
But yeah, just anything, you know, there's so much more that I haven't done here, and I'd definitely love to return to London one day and do everything else. So it's been great. I've time well spent, and yeah, I've had the time of my life. It's been awesome.
How many hours did it take you to get there?
Oh God. It could have been worse. I had roughly a 7-hour flight from my home city to Kuala Lumpur, the airport hub. And I had to stay there for about, I can't remember. It was like afternoon. So maybe like 2 p.m. until 11 p.m.
That's bad.
Literally just, I walked around the shops, had something to eat. It was like the weather was so muggy and humid. So
that is Malaysia.
Oh God, I wanted to have a shower so bad, but I didn't. But you know, so I waited there until 11. Got on a plane, and this is the killer. So this one was about 12 hours or something. I can't remember. So basically, I tried to sleep. it's so difficult to sleep on a plane. And this is my first time flying too, so it was so difficult. Yeah, it was so difficult trying to sleep. I watched Lord of the Rings, so that killed about 3 hours. So that was good. And I watched Dead Poets Society, but I didn't get to finish it because we were landing. So I missed the good ending. But yeah, I mean, it was exciting because it was my first flight, so it was quite exciting. I don't know how I'm going to go the second time around. I think I'm just going to be over it by the end.
So no issues with flying, no fears.
No, I was too excited, and to be honest, like, I mean, if I was in a plane crash coming back home, at least I've been to London, at least I've been to Paris, at least I've been to Moonfest. I don't care. I've lived life now. I'm done.
All right. Well, and you pretty much already answered this. You would do it again. You'd go.
I mean, like, people kept asking me, and it's a financial
Yeah,
thing.
of
Like, it's
course.
hard because I can't just catch a train that costs maybe $200 and end up in Runefest in a couple of hours. I have to go on a plane and fly all the way from Australia to get here, and I wish I lived here so it wouldn't be too much of an issue trying to get here because that's the main barrier. Otherwise, I'd be going to Runefest every year. So if it wasn't for that distance, I would definitely be going again. I mean, I could try for next year, but I don't know. And it's not my own choice. If I could have my way, I would definitely go next year. And I recommend anyone who's able to go and is within proximity, you just have to do it. It's so much fun. Even if you go alone, there's too much for you to do to get bored. So it's great.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your time with us, Alaska. Was a
No
pleasure having
problem.
you on.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you very much.
All right, we're back now, and of course, thank you to Miss Alaska for taking the time out of her day to talk to me and share her opinions on RuneFest and traveling to the UK. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed that interview. But there's one more thing that was talked about in RuneScape 2016, and it's something that we all need to, be very aware of, and this should be everyone's favorite update of the year, and that's 15 years of RuneScape, including a new emote they're going to be bringing out, reopening RuneScape Classic, and a documentary featuring past, present Jagex employees and famous players. So it really is going to be a year to celebrate what RuneScape is and everything that it has done for all of us. So I gotta say, that's probably gonna be my favorite update of the year.
Cries will be shed during the documentary, or tears will be shed. That's probably the right wording.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, they showed some clips of the documentary in the session here, and I mean, they had someone on there who met his wife and now his kids thanks to RuneScape. So, it's going to be an eye-opening experience for everyone who has been involved with this game and various aspects of it. So it is a big year, and
It is. I mean, it is. It always is this way. But 15 years of RuneScape is a great moment to stand still about how big this game is. I mean, look at these people traveling from all over the world to attend RuneFest, just to get the a possibility to talk to one of the creators of the games and talk to other people about something they really enjoy. And that's already, I mean, it's hard to imagine that people are so involved with a video game with pixels on the screen to go there. But then again, I would gladly go there myself. So it really shows that RuneScape is much more than just a game.
Yeah, and I mean, RuneFest exemplifies that entirely. And in the video, they said, Jagex is one of the last remaining independent UK game studios, which is a hallmark achievement in itself. So they got that going for them. And, every game that I've been a part of hasn't had a community like the RS community.
No,
And I think in some ways it's fostered, from just all the years of you know, sometimes early on, we didn't really get to see into Jagex that much, did we? But now we do. So that, in some ways, had a role in building the community. So,
yeah, I mean, it was obvious from what they said today. It's like, in the beginning, RuneScape was small, and they really had close community interaction, and then RuneScape became this big thing that was all about money making. So the contact with the community was lost, and now it's really coming back. I mean, I don't feel like it's impossible to get in contact with the mods.
Yeah, same. Well, I mean, maybe you and I have a bit of a different perspective, since, I mean, you run a clan and I run a fan site.
Yeah, that might be so. Then again, I never really tried getting in contact with mods, but I do feel that Jagex is taking a lot of things seriously from the community. It's far from being perfect, but there are so many souls to keep happy. It's an impossible task. So
I'll just say it's, you know, been a lot better than it was in previous years, bots yeah. and whatnot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say Evolution of Combat came out in RS3. I said 2013, best year ever to be playing RS. New combat system, new interfaces, that kind of thing. I think 2016 is going to have to go forward and be called the best year to play RS.
It is going to be a grand year.
Yeah. But there is one thing that is going to cap off the 15th year, and that is Andrew and Paul Gower coming back as guest developers on the 15th anniversary quest.
The surprise of RuneFest 2015, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, people saw Andrew and Paul walking around at RuneFest, so there was some
yeah.
idea that something like that might be happening. But there was no idea that they were actually going to be involved on this level.
I knew they were there at RuneFest. I don't know where I got it from, but I saw a picture on Twitter or something. But I was literally sitting there with my mouth open when they announced it, because that was really, really surprising.
Yeah. Quoting from the news post, this is going to feature them both as in-game characters and in real-life development, with tons of fourth-wall-breaking craziness, NPCs trying to escape the loop of being spawned and killed, quest NPCs trying to get back in the game, and more. And in the presentation, they also talked about, okay, what are some updates we wanted to put in but never got in, so maybe we can address that,
yeah.
or some things that are no longer in-game that were in game at a point, i.e. random events, that kind of stuff. So
it's gonna feature Cabbage as well.
Of course.
Just have to mention that. It's yeah, gonna be
something
it's,
Andrew
it,
said.
It's gonna be Recipe for Disaster multiplied with Dimension for Disaster of Disaster. Like, take that level of humor and add them together. That's what we're gonna get, I hope, and I think. And it's going to be amazing.
I agree. 110% with you on that one. So
yeah.
Amazing.
Definitely.
Anyways, so 15 years of RS, RuneFest, going to be a great year. So before we go and talk about other things, there's one more interview that we have to share with you guys, and that is with Draz, or fully known as the Drezu from Clan Quest. Alex talked to him for a few minutes, middle of the day, so let's hear what they had to chat about right now. Thank you, Shane. I am here at RuneFest with Draz.
Hi, how are you?
So, RuneFest, it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a pretty big event.
Mm-hmm. You seen what they were talking about the combat changes?
I actually didn't get to go watch the combat changes. I was running around talking to all of the J mods. And the first thing I really got to look at was the invention and the master skills. So that was a very, very big reveal. It showed a whole bunch of stuff. It was pretty awesome. I'm super excited.
Sounds good.
Yep.
So, what do you think of NXT going forward? Do you think it's going to be a hit, or do you think it's going to be another bit of a flop like WebGL where it almost takes up and not quite?
Well, I think that most players play with client now. I think most people don't play with browsers, and the client as it is right now has some buggy issues that really are largely based on the fact that the client is still working like a browser. And I think that NXT's concept is that they want to make it into a game that's played on a computer like all other major MMOs do, which would allow them to increase the graphics, allow them to decrease lag on play, make basically everything that you do in the game easier and better, and yet have it work better from their programming perspective because they do not have to account for things that are required in browsers. I don't know. They had a whole room dedicated to it, talked to a bunch of JMods in there. It works, which is awesome. I don't know that it'll be used for players who play like in the library or at school or anything like that, which I know that's how a lot of us got started in the game, but I think most players nowadays generally are playing on one major computer or maybe a laptop, and for that kind of play, this is definitely better than any browser play you're going to get.
Yes. Did anything interesting happen at the Night Before party?
I don't know. I talked to a bunch of JMods who were just partying. Played some billiards, played some ping pong. There's, you know.
Did Mon Mark smoke you?
No. But yeah,
he played very well last night.
Oh, yeah. Who played really good? I know Mark was playing billiards. He was playing pretty good. I didn't end up getting to play against him. There was such a long line of people who wanted to play against him. I play good billiards, so I would have kicked his ass. But, you know, the gauntlet's thrown. You ready for me next year, Mark? But, yeah, it was interesting. And a lot of Clan Quest members, because, you know, I'm in Clan Quest, and I was really looking forward to meeting all of the Clan. You're in Clan Quest? Yay. I was really looking forward to meeting all of the Clan Quest members. And, four or five of us got together last night, and of course a whole bunch of other people who know the clan or know us through other things like different friend chats, etc., all got together, and it was a big party. We missed you. Where the heck were you at?
I was wandering. I was all over the place. You just didn't know who I was, but I was everywhere
then. You're such a handsome fellow, you think I would have recognized you, but shame on me. Anyway.
No, it was my bad. I didn't know what you guys looked like. I was kind of looking for you, but I was expecting to see like a big giant neon clad.
Yeah. Tisk, shame on us. Miscommunication happens. Whatever.
Yeah, right. Now we know for next time. So carrying on, how many folks from Clan Quest did we have here altogether?
I believe our final count was 7, right?
Yes, sounds right. We counting Carl?
Yeah, we'll count Carl. That's be 8 then.
Because you recruited a couple of guys as well. So.
Yeah, we picked up a couple, and we're missing a couple who said they were going to be here, so I'm worried that maybe we might have missed them. I don't know. That'd be crazy, though. But yeah, a couple. More than one. That's all that matters.
Right.
We represented pretty well. And did you see any other clans with as many members here? I really didn't. Maybe Mining Gold's had 4 or 5 people in T-shirts. That's about the only group I saw with as many.
There are a couple of RuneScape Wiki guys there as well, but there's only 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah. And they're not, I wouldn't call them a clan. No offense to the RuneScape Wiki if you're listening.
Well, clan is a...
Yeah, broader term.
So, how many signatures did you collect today? Because you were pretty active in that.
Oh, all of them but 2. Every single JMod in the building that I know of. I'm missing Mod Cake and I'm missing Mod Jack.
I was told there was about 150 JMods here today, so yep. That's a lot of signatures.
My signatures I've got over 120 for sure.
How much are you going to sell the photocopies for?
Nothing.
So, what's your plan now? Are you going to just party all night and...
Oh, yeah, you know, it's, I'm not a big crowds guy, so it's been a very exhausting day. Yay. I'm sure all the listeners can appreciate that, but it's definitely, if you've never gone, take it right now as a life goal and save up money starting today for the rest of the year so that when the next RuneFest comes around, you'll have some money saved up and you can buy a ticket and you can pay for the flights and sign up with Clan Quest and we'll help you accommodate that. So, I mean, you know,
we'll provide the drinking buddies.
Exactly. You know, a couple of us actually bunked up. There's transportation's not that expensive. So don't ever let money be an excuse not to go. If you missed it this year, definitely, definitely, definitely. Just try and not drink coffee once a day and stop going to Starbucks. Put the money aside for RuneFest and you'll be here next year.
Because the plane ticket's usually the big one.
Exactly.
Like, I live in Canada and the plane ticket was $1,200
there. Oh, yeah. And I normally, if you live in the U.S., I know a lot of listeners live in the U.S., I can help you with that. If you live in Europe, it's not that expensive. If you live, yeah, you know, so if you know, it's really just planning and preparing. Traveling is by far and away the most expensive cost of it. But once you get here, it's really easy to get by.
And lastly, any larger noobs than yourself here that you want to shout out to?
Well, there are no larger noobs than me.
That's a tough question.
But
I
will say that there are quite a few noobs, just not as noob as me. My noob level is over 9,000. I know, it's shocking. You wouldn't think it's possible, but
only
I've done
9,000?
It. Hey.
Better, man.
Only 9,000. You must be crazy. No, but got a shout out. Let's see. We got Proto Man, who's in Low Council with Clan Quest. We got Miss Alaska, who is old head of the Low Council, is currently a Low Counselor with Clan Quest. We've got Vodka B. Her name kind of speaks for itself. We got you here representing the RSBNB crowd and Clan Quest. Yay. We got your brother, obviously. I wanted to give a shout out to Mod Timbo because I really came this far just to visit with him. And Mod Osborne for being creative.
Who's the one mod that helped you find the signatures again?
A couple different mods. The biggest mod that helped me out would be Mod Katarina. I think that's her name. I want to make sure I don't say that wrong. Or Krista. Mod Krista. Nice. Make myself sound like a nimwit. Say the wrong name.
Katarina or Katarina? Oh, Krista.
Yeah, exactly. It starts with a K and an R.
Well, thank you for your time. Taking the time off the RuneFest. Then.
No, I appreciate you interviewing me.
Thank you. Back to you, Shane.
So that was Draz and Alex 43 talking. Great little bit of banter there. And hopefully you guys have enjoyed hearing from our three little RuneFest interviews that we've had this year for you guys. I know that's something I wanted to bring to you guys. And I think we delivered with some good on-site RuneFest content. So anything else RuneFest before we talk about the one little wrinkle that happened at RuneFest?
I think RuneScape needs more penguins. There was not enough penguins and not enough cabbage on RuneFest. And, I mean, they announced the bots or quests and the quirkier content. And I hope that's going to include, like, penguin storyline, pirate storyline, because those need a little bit of love as well, I think.
All right. Yeah, I can see that. One thing I would have liked to hear about, looking back on it, is Soul Altar. We have spells that use lots of soul runes now, so maybe the Soul Altar would be a good thing to reward from the Nomad quest, since they did mention that he wants to siphon all the souls on Gilinar, so
It was mentioned they had plans for where the Soul Altar would fit in, because it was not included in the 7 quests. You're right that maybe Soars would be a good place for it. I still have the feeling it might fit in at the end of Elemental Workshop.
All right. Well, we'll just have to wait and see on that.
Yeah. That's one of the surprises Jagex is keeping.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Really good one.
Yeah.
So, RuneFest went off without a hitch, for the most part, except for the night before, at the before party. There was a little incident. And those of you guys who have been listening to Update for quite some time know I refrain from talking about these kind of stories because, well, they're not necessarily related to in-game. I don't like talking about, you know, what the community did, what who did in the community, that sort of thing. But I feel this is warranted since it is related to RuneFest. And it so happens that well, there was a little altercation at the bar. Rank number 10 on the high scores attacked rank number 7. Apparently, they had words in game before. Poor rank number 7 ended up being punched in the face and headbutted.
I think I've got to give you kudos here for phrasing that all very carefully.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said.
All I have heard is that somebody punched another person in the face and somebody broke nose.
No, the nose didn't get broken.
Broken. It's not that bad.
But it could have been. Yeah. Okay. But still, I mean, that's not something you do. You're ranked number 10, number 7. That's front page. You really ought to have a good deal of self-control when you're that kind of ambassador for the community. Because anyone who's front page in any skill is an ambassador for the RS community. Or at least they should be.
Yeah. It's a bit strange. I mean, from what I've gathered, like, I'm not into that world at all, but from what I've gathered, there was, like, some stuff going on for a longer time. Like, the person that attacked the other person was has been talking about some elitary players in a negative way. And, I mean, in a way, there was a bit of friction there already, but taking that out at the night before is, well...
Yeah, it's not a good thing to do.
I don't know how to put it, really.
It's
childish. We just talked about how RuneScape can get the best out of people, and it's a bit saddening to see that it also works the other way.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's not pressing charges, which is really interesting in my point of view. But also, Jagex banned his account, banned number 10's account for this.
Yeah, he also was banned from RuneFest.
Which, I mean, you have to do after that. That's a safety concern.
Yeah.
There's been some discussion as to whether banning the account is too far. What's your take on that?
I find it difficult to judge it because in a way this happened in a bar and it's not like he violated an in-game rule. So banning his account feels a bit strange. On the other hand, it was at a RuneScape event and it was clearly something that was out of line, and there was already that friction of that player. So in a way, this was just the point of escalation, and maybe Jagex took this opportunity to say, okay, let's put an end to this, because if we don't do something right now, this will go on and might go even worse in the future, and that's what we don't want to have. So that might be a consideration. I don't really know what to think of it. In a way, I feel like leave the account out of it. He has done nothing wrong. But that's a difficult question.
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult call. And I mean, how much work do you put into an account like that? So I can see it from both ways. And I am tending to lead with Jagex on this one. So
if you go to a RuneScape account and punch someone in the face and then go complaining that your account is banned because of that, I mean, come on. If you can't be mature enough, then I don't think you should be a major part of the community anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you just summed it up right there. So I'm content to leave it at that.
All right.
All right. I didn't want to start with a downer, so we're ending with one. But nonetheless, great RuneFest nonetheless, I think, right?
Last year was a bit disappointing. This year they made up really made up with that because they had great announcement. I'm really looking forward to what the new leadership of RuneScape is going to do with the game. And I have full confidence in the development team once again.
Good. Good. And, I mean, yes, they were cagey on, I mean, next, invention, combat, that kind of thing. But I think the main outline that everyone should look at is what's coming in 2016, because that is the roadmap, so to speak.
Yep.
It's not how much we heard, it's what the general theme is going to be. And that deserves full marks here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's RuneFest, but of course there was an update this week. We're not going to talk in depth about it, mainly patch notes. An update to the front game interface that has been a long time coming for me. I actually suggested this way back when RS3 first came out, but what they did is they moved the loadout and presets tab from the gear interface into the hero interface. And then what happens after that is that the pets tab got moved from the hero to the gear interface, replacing loadout and presets, and then gear got renamed to customizations.
How?
I felt think this no-brainer.
I felt myself misclicking for these things all the time, and since the interface changed, I haven't once clicked wrong yet. So it is more intuitive. That's I can almost say that as a fact. So, yeah,
I mean, it's something when you're designing an interface is that there should be a logical separation between character and player, which this accomplishes.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
Much needed. And if you're wondering where things are, well, the tabs just changed a little bit. But anyways, in other patch notes this week, the Draken and Darkmire outfits can now be stored in the costume room without issues. Thank you. Thank you.
It is funny how it always takes at least a week to fix this kind of stuff. I mean, come on, Jagex. Make a checklist. Add costume room to that. How difficult can it be?
Yep.
That, I mean, every single thing that is released, and one day later, one of the upvoted Reddit posts will be, why can't we store this in the costume room? I mean, don't they have a checklist for this? That's what I would do if I were them. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like the first Darkmire disguise could be stored in there, so why can't this be in there?
Yeah. It's funny, though, that the Darkmire outfit goes into the fancy dress box, but because the Dragon House Guard outfit has stats, it goes into the armor wardrobe.
Oh, that's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I never know where to look for stuff in there.
No.
Anyways, familiars will no longer become attackable inside of Yakamaru's arena. Okay.
Whatever that means, I assume it's a good thing.
Well, I mean, I guess it just means that your familiars won't be one-hit KO'd.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah.
Teleblock immunity is now removed correctly when exiting the wilderness. Okay. I didn't know people still got teleblocked in the wilderness. Apparently. Lucky versions of the Armadillo armor no longer require 70 range to wear. And now here's one that I was looking for an explanation for a long, long time, but magic tree seeds have been removed from Beastmaster Durzag's and Yakamaru's drop table. So the result of this, you want to know what the result was?
I think I can imagine what the results were.
Well, magic seeds skyrocketed from around 75k each all the way up to 112k. In a matter of 2 days.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's lucky that I'm at the point where I almost have all the seeds that I need, but I was wondering why they were so cheap, but obviously here it is, and this was the response to fix it. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not something that's necessarily a bad thing, having their value go back up, because way back when I first got 99 farming, they were like 180k each, which was, I mean, just astounding back then.
Mm-hmm.
So, still cheap relatively compared to years past. Runecrafting Altar Rifts in the Abyss have had their click areas increased. That's good, I guess. I mean, it's always was.
They were always a bit like dodgy to actually hit right here.
Yeah, yeah. Shortcut has been added to Shiloh Village, requiring level 74 agility and the completion of the Elite Karamja tasks. For anyone wondering, this is on the north side of the village, so it's a perfect way to get to the runecrafting altar. So in theory, what you do now is you bank a Castle Wars, use your little gloves, clap your hands, teleport into the gem rocks, and go up that way. If you don't want to use the Grack. Which I think is good.
I think it's about time we got access to the village from that side, because Shiloh Village was always a hassle to get into. Like, only with the Karamja loaves could you really get into the city normally. Otherwise, you would have to go to the Fairy Wing, run all the way around the city, and then get in. I mean, yeah. Long time coming.
And of course, crossing the river as well, twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good. The tracks Arise Hero and Zaro's Return from the quest Fate of the Gods have been added to the music player. Apparently they were missing.
They were great songs. They played during Fate of the Gods, but they were not on the music list, so you couldn't listen to them again, which was really sad. But yeah, Arise Hero was one of the tracks that featured a lot during the RuneFest streams, in case some of you remember.
Oh, okay. I'll have to give those a listen then. Excellent. Well, there's the patch notes. Anything else you'd like to mention from them?
Wasn't the extension to the playlist this week, or was it last week that the playlist was...
That was last week.
Okay. I got them. Yeah. That's okay. A nice thing that goes well together with this, because it means I can add them to my playlist without having to worry about it being full up.
And you can have a pleasurable sound in your ear.
Indeed.
All right. Well, as you can tell, this is a huge, huge episode of the podcast. And, you know, I mean, no time for questions this week, even if we had any. So we're just going to jump straight on into tech news going forward. So, big news in the space run this week, wasn't there?
It's almost as big as RuneFest.
Yeah. One could argue bigger, maybe.
Maybe.
If there's ever
maybe.
To be life found on Mars. But it has been confirmed that there is flowing water on modern Mars. Which, when you think about it, the conditions have to be right for that, because it's a very cold and dry planet otherwise. Needs to be in the summer where it can actually go above zero, or high enough so that the salty water can melt, because as we all know, adding salt to water lowers the melting point, so, or the freezing point.
Adding salt lowers the freezing point.
Right.
Because it also lowers the boiling point.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
And that's why they put salt on the roads when it's cold, so that the it needs to be colder to have the water actually freeze on the road.
Yeah. But anyways, this was done from orbit using image spectrography, basically looking at images from the surface and then analyzing what kind of light they reflect. And in doing that, they were able to find that, well, it's actually H2O, not carbon dioxide water, which is actually a good thing, which, as we know, anywhere there's water, there's a chance to have life. But yeah, amazing stuff. And these little, well, I mean, they're not streams per se, but the soil just darkens from the flows, and they appear when the temperatures are above minus 23 Celsius.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that they found a river or something. It's not that substantial, but the fact that there is flowing water makes the probability of life at the current day a lot bigger.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's under the surface, and I mean, what's under the rocks. I mean, there might be fossils there, and if there was life once, there could be life now. So it's a very major discovery, probably one of the largest ever.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on that, aside from the obvious let's go to space references?
Not really. I saw a funny joke where people thought the liquid water on Mars was caused by tears because... Yeah, because the moon, we had like the blood moon the day before.
Yeah.
Some of you might have seen that. Basically, the moon was and really close to Earth, relatively, and really red because of an eclipse. And I saw a little comic online where the moon was like, Luke, I'm pretending to be Mars, but I'm not Mars. Who wants to be big, fed up Mars? And then you saw a picture of Mars crying because of that, and it all fit together so well. I think that was great.
Lots of good humor there. All right.
I agree.
So, you know, just doing our duty not to, you know, be biased to Apple or anything like that, but this week Google released the Nexus 5X and 6P. The 5X is a phone that's 5.2 inches wide, while the 6P is 5.7 inches wide for a smartphone, which is huge if you ask me, a little bit too big. But this is basically the next iteration of Google's flagship devices that run pure Android. They're made by LG this time around, so that's good in my book. Know anyone who's interested in these?
I have seen them, I think, but I really don't know anything about Google devices, to be honest.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, a smartphone is a smartphone, right? Like, you don't normally get the headlines from the Google devices like you do from the Apple devices, and that, oh, okay, we're changing mm-hmm. the enclosure to be this wide so that... we can fit all the innards inside and whatnot. So
mm-hmm.
That's not what Google does. Basically, when you're looking at new Google phones, you're looking at, well, new hardware, as if you were looking at a new computer. So, yeah, there's not much to talk about on these. But spec-wise, quad-core CPUs, 2700 milliamp-hour battery, and they use USB Type-C for charging.
Cool.
And the 6P has a larger battery, so. And 8 cores rather than 4. I don't know why you need that many cores on a phone.
No. I mean, I know they talked about RuneScape on tablets and other devices, but that's far off, so I don't see a reason for multiple cores on a phone yet.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, and, well... I guess wouldn't be a complete week without talking about Apple. Now, would it?
You had to turn this around. You couldn't stand only talking about Google, couldn't you? You had to put in some Apple.
Well, it turns out that the iPhone 6S is nearly waterproof. Maybe. They added a strip of adhesive around the case, which effectively forms a gasket, which... prevents the device from taking on water too quickly. Granted, you know, there's still holes for the headphones and the chargers and everything like that, but I mean, if you somehow submerge the phone into liquid, there's a higher chance it will come out unscathed. Of course, that's not what you want to do.
Oh, I mean, I see this headline, right? And it says the iPhone 6S is nearly waterproof. What good does it do? I mean, an iPhone is either waterproof or it isn't, right? Either you put it underwater and it breaks, or it doesn't. if it's like, if it only has one tiny hole, it will still break. So what good does it do to be nearly waterproof? That's what I don't get.
Well, I mean, I guess if you dropped it in the top end or something.
Don't. Just don't.
I know, I've never done that, but I'm saying there are people that, you know, do actually have that problem from time to time. And for what it's worth, Apple does seem to be wanting to progress down this path because there are patents filed that show that, well, maybe we could also plug up the holes for the headphone port and the charger and the speakers.
You just wanted,
I don't know how, though.
You just wanted Apple news in this podcast. Just let's keep it on that and move on.
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, you got to talk about this to prevent people from dunking their phones in the water.
I think most people who would know that their phone isn't waterproof, and those people who think they are, don't deserve to own one.
All right.
Solved.
Well, there's your tech news, everyone. You're right. I just had to fit that in. Anyways, September is finished, and we got a new roundup on Informer, where you can see all the other good stuff that Informer did this month. Find that at informer.rsbnb.com. And, well, we also talk about skill of the month in that. It was the prayer skill of the month, and Arceus ran away with the competition, gaining 19.8 million prayer XP. 19.8.
Wow.
Second place with Tim, with 3.1, and third place was Parnassus Iron Man, Iron Ass, with 1.6 million XP gained. So, yeah, lots of money spent in Arceus's favor. He must really, really like that skill, because he started off with 140 million prayer XP. 140 million.
That's a lot of bones.
Yeah, it is. And I don't even want to begin to imagine how much that costs.
So no.
We're just going to leave it at that.
Yes.
But the October skill of the month is... The October skill of the month is mining. Adaron Cronon has gained 6.5 million XP so far.
Good job on finding the sound stones.
Yeah, well, Carpi has gained 1.4 million XP, and Sorter is at 195k. Yeah, you're right. Good job on finding the Saren Stones.
I don't see a way of getting that much mining XP without going insane, without using Saren Stones.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I would highly recommend that if someone is getting bored at the game while doing this much mining XP, they can tone it down a bit, because, well, 5 million XP is a good cushion, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Just insane. Insane.
Apparently, you can be overtaken in 3 days if you do nothing, so...
Huh. Okay. Good to know. Okay, let's talk about some achievements of the week. Interesting week to have you on the podcast. We'll see why, but I'll start. Jade Gizmo got 99 Constitution, and 99 Attack on September 30th. Congratulations.
On September 28th, J1, J2, J3 got 99 Hunter and 99 Smithing. Congratulations.
That's a nice combination. That guy's a
very deep, interesting. I think you have been making some cyborg chin chompas.
ahead of time. And then, of course, you, Sirion. You got 99 fishing on the 27th and 99 herblore on the 26th.
All hail the bonus XP weekend.
Yeah, so there was no... there was nothing involved on... your part of getting it when you were on the show this week?
No.
All right.
I'll do the last one then. J1, J2, J3 again got 99 mining on September 27, 2015. Congratulations.
He's been busy.
He's been busy. I think he's been mining 7 stones and using them at the thingy to mine you just to... Let's move on. I can't use words.
You can't words. All right. Well, since we are 2 hours in, more than that, I'm just going to give a quick pick of the week this week. You know, it's something I think that everybody, you know, should look at if you're interested in furthering your own education. They have free and pay courses on this website, and you take them from your home, of course. And the website, of course, that I'm talking about is called Coursera. Are you familiar with it?
No, I do not know Coursera. I know something similar to that, but...
All right. Well, basically, Coursera allows you to choose pretty much any discipline that you want and see what kind of courses are available to it. So, I mean, there's courses like HTML and interaction design. There's also foreign language courses, to name them. Tons of them, really. 1,451 as of today. So... quite a few.
Is it like endorsed by universities or?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, they are provided by university. So.
So you actually can get like certified things there.
Yeah,
as well.
You can get certificates here. Like there's one in software product management from the University of Alberta here that you can take. So if you're interested in that, that's something you can do. That is one of the paid courses. Total of $434. So, I mean, the paid ones aren't cheap, but you're actually getting full university courses here for what is a decent price. So, you can, of course, look at free ones as well. So, tons of them to look for here. And, I mean, if there's something you're interested in, look here. It doesn't have to be a huge commitment. And you might learn something very interesting along the way. So that's to be found at Coursera.org. I'm just making an editing note. Did something on the video. All right, so I don't suppose it's too late to ask what you've been up to this week.
What have I been up to this week? Well, it's actually past midnight, so if I wanted to answer that question literally, I would be saying I've been recording an RSBNB update, and that's it, because I'm 20 minutes into my new week. But I'll take it less literally and talk about last week. I have actually been, I'm currently working on rewriting an entire website, on which you can play Risk. We are currently rewriting the backend entirely, so I'm doing that as like a project. And since I finished my university a couple of weeks ago, I'm actually working on applying for a job, which I will continue to do next week.
All right. How about RuneScape related?
RuneScape related, right? That's the thing. Well, last week I have been working on my skills for the bonus XP weekend. So that was quite a bunch of RuneScapes. I haven't been doing a whole lot last week, but I've been getting a bit more into Slayer because my combat skills are behind.
Yeah, and that's something you were mentioning. You were finding that money was just appearing in your bank for like...
Yeah, yeah. It's also ports that gives me a lot of money for some reason, like... all of a sudden, I have some trade goods, turn it into armor, and bam, a few mil in my bank. It's like so easy to make money using it. But yeah, Slayer pays off. That is definitely true, and also a bit sad that combat is so much better in paying off stuff than skilling. But
yeah, well,
things are as they are.
I offset it with herb farming as it is, and that makes me happy. But anyways,
you have been getting
me this
farming
week,
XP.
Yeah, lots of farming XP. I hit 99 million farming XP. And I mean, if I was to go back to the double XP weekend, I don't know. I think I've gained like 5 million farming XP this weekend. Let me just sum it up here, because that is what it feels like currently. Let's see. So October 4th through the no. What would that be? 26th? 25th?
25th until the 28th, what the weekend was, I think.
Oh, okay. It felt like more, but I've gained 3.5 million farming XP since double XP weekend.
There's a 5 in there.
Yeah, 3.5. Yep.
Yeah, there's a 5 in there, so it was close enough.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you subscribe to that kind of measurement. But yeah, aside from that, on RS, I'm close to making the proclamation that 120 farming is fully funded, so we'll fingers crossed that happens this week. But aside from that, not much else, just lots of podcast producing for this week. This is probably my second busiest podcast week of the year, next to the week leading up to Christmas time, so yeah. I'll be in for a good long 4-day break after this, and then we'll do it all over again, as we do. But anyways, I think that's it for this episode of RSBB Update. For any listeners out there who have managed to make it through this mammoth, I don't even want to guess at how long it's going to be in its final form. But if you managed to make it to the end, thank you. We applaud you. And, of course, you can find more of RSBNB Update on iTunes. Just go to update.rsbnb.com/iTunes to subscribe. Or, of course, find us in our friends chat, which is Bits, Bytes, and Game. And we'll see you next week, everyone. And thank you, Sirion, for joining us.
No problem. Had a good time.